Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show. We do it more than we talk about it. We do it a lot on Wednesdays. We do it also on Mondays and Tuesdays, but not as much, as you probably figured out. So if you want to get in on Wednesdays, we pray and prophesy over every person who calls in. Not much talking. Every once in a while, teeny-weeny bit. But a little teaching, a little revelating, and then we get right into it and we go at it. And so thank you for being a part of that. And we're here to serve and pray for people and believe God to give maybe some kind of vision that maybe you haven't seen yet, maybe you don't understand, maybe you don't know. Possibly. My God might show something that you've not seen before. Happens to me all the time. So I love it and can't get enough of it. Yeah, we've been talking a little bit about people that walk, step out by faith and do things, and how we need to give them a break and try to see them like Jesus did. He saw their faith when they were tearing the roof off his house. I still love that. I laugh most of the time when I read that, just thinking, you know, what that was like, man, tearing the tiles off and maneuvering him in there. And just, but he says when he saw their faith. He didn't say when he saw the dust flying and when he saw the tiles, the roof being tore up. He says when he saw their faith. Man, that's what I'm believing God for. I mean, I'm sure there's many times that I've missed seeing people that they were doing things by their faith. You know, God's spoken to them somehow or another, and they're doing it by their faith. But it's hard to see it, you know, when it's not you, right? So we can be on both sides and understand, you know, we need to be, you know, careful and ask God to show us, you know, are they walking by faith? Like Jesus said, he saw their faith. So in other words, you can see faith. You can see it. Yeah, you can see it. Obviously you can, because Jesus said he did. We read that scripture last night. I'm going to read it again or not tonight, but not sure where we're going to go exactly here. But anyway, good to be with you tonight. Yeah, so we are talking about all kinds of things. And, yeah, this whole thing about faith, you know, people do all kinds of stuff, man. You know, how many times do I look like an idiot or a fool or, you know, whatever, when I stepped out in faith? And, you know, like, you know, Donald Trump stuff was kind of stepping out of faith at a new level with me, the elbow at the same time, when you know God's speaking to you. But then the next day you wake up going, did I just step out of a boat and walk on the water, or what was I doing? And so the storm begins to rage. Anytime you step out by faith, let me tell you something, the storm is going to rage. It's already, you're usually stepping out because it is raging. What is it? Maybe it's raging within you. Maybe you know, every time you step out of the storm, I had my phone down by my side there. You know, every time you step out in faith, you know, like Peter did, a lot of times people step out of faith because the storm is raging. They're like, you know, how come nothing's going on? How come I'm not doing what I know I should be doing? What's going on? What do I need to do to get it going on, right? I mean, we've all faced that. I have many times. You know, and so Abraham and Sarah did that, and they messed up. You know, they got Ishmael going on. And, you know. And then Sarah, by faith, told Abraham, get rid of that boy. And he didn't want to do it. You know, he's like, that's my baby. Not your baby, but it's my baby. And it was part of your idea, right? So they kind of went back and forth about that. And, you know, God jumped in there and said, do what she says. You know? So she stepped out by faith. And she, you know, it's hard to choose a submissive, obedient person who loved her husband and knew he was a called of God. And they were both called of God. And so, but there's some things that, you know, God called Abraham to do that Sarah never really did. Sarah did a whole lot. But Abraham was, you know, the main picture of the whole thing. And so everybody finds their where they belong. And Abraham listened to God when he said, listen to Sarah. It was a hard thing for him to do, right? Just like when Jesus was, his mother was stepping out by faith to tell him to, you know, make some wine. They don't have any wine. That's what she said. That was her words. She didn't say they didn't have any grape juice. She said, they don't have any wine. And you know, and it kind of irritated him just a little bit. He was very respectful, but at the same time, you know, sometimes when you step out by faith, you're going to irritate people. You have to get used to it. It's going to create a storm, right? You're going to step out by faith. And brother, you know, like I said, many times we step out by faith because we have a storm raging like Peter did. You know, the storm was raging already, and the waters were stirred up and things were going on. And sometimes that's when we step out, is when, you know, nothing seems to be going right. What's going on? We're just going in this boat. We're, you know, hanging out with Jesus. And when he comes, when he shows up, and, you know, so what do we do? And, you know, and Peter, you know, looks at the other guys, and they're in fear. And, you know, he's going like, I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to step out by faith. And so he steps out by faith. And, you know, right in the middle of a storm. So usually most people step out, you know, during one kind of storm or the other. Like I said, well, the storm's inside you, the storm of nothing's happening. You know, I hate that storm. I don't like that storm at all when it's raging inside of me. There's nothing going on. You need to do something. You know, that voice, you know, or those emotions, whatever you're going to call them, and those feelings, those things that come. And so sometimes you make a mistake and you step out and you do something. And, well, so what? You know, Jesus and, you know, Abraham didn't lose his promises because, you know, he stepped out by faith. I'm not sure it was faith he stepped out on. Him and Sarah got together and, you know, made some choices and had an Ishmael. Well, my gosh, you can see what that produced. Sometimes our faith can produce an Ishmael, you know, maybe not quite as much as that one, but that was a little bit heavier situation than most of our stuff. But, you know, it happens. They were in a storm. They were in a storm that was going like, you know, hey, they ain't no baby coming. So something's got to, what do we got to do? What do we need to do? There's no baby. For years, and she was frustrated that she couldn't have a baby. He was frustrated because he couldn't have a baby. And, you know, whose fault was it? They didn't know what's going on. They didn't know. And sure enough, it wasn't Abraham because, you know, when Abraham went into to Hagar, you know, they had Ishmael. So that pretty well proved, you know, what was going on there. But God was doing something in the midst of all of it. You know, sometimes when you're barren for a season, it creates a storm inside of you. Like, am I ever going to, you know, produce anything? Am I going to produce a child in her case? Am I going to produce anything to be produced this? Am I just going to be, you know, for 25 years trying hard to have a baby? You know, it creates a storm. Nothing creates a storm. Like, there's nothing happening. Nothing happens. It's one of the worst storms you can go through. And so when you step out of the boat, you know, that storm crazy, especially if you step out without Jesus saying, yeah, you know, because we get desperate. If Abraham and Sarah went and did something like that, then if we do it, what are we? We're going to lose our promises because we stepped out by faith and produced maybe a minor Ishmael or some kind of something like it. You know, hey, no. You know, a few years later, you know, Isaac came and, yeah, the thing went on, and so we need to really look at these things in the Word of God and kind of judge, you know, how it happened with them, and even though they really messed up, with them it was a really big mess up. There's nobody messed up that big. I mean, that was huge. That was huge. Isis came from, you know, Ishmael, in case you don't know that. And so, you know, whatever, no big deal, but it's amazing that, you know, things happen, and people step out, and they're trying to do something. So they make a mistake, whatever, you know. It always turns out that God works it out for our good if we let him, right? You got to let him do it. Sometimes it seems like it's just getting worse and getting messed up and whatever. And Joseph was, you know, his brothers were, I don't know, they were trying to get rid of him. And little did they realize that they were doing something that God wanted done, right? So in a sense, they were doing something by faith too, but it was like for all the wrong reasons, of course. But, you know, God was involved in all of it. He wanted Abraham to be somewhere else. Sometimes God will allow people to do really mean things to you, or seem mean, at least at the time. Sometimes they are mean. Sometimes they're evil. Joseph later said, what you meant for evil. So sometimes God will allow people to do things like what happened to Jesus. You know, God stirred up all that stuff. So sometimes I'm learning. I don't know. I got it down right. I'm learning to look and see. Is it faith Now, Jesus saw them, and they said he saw their faith. But if he got to look and sit and didn't see their faith, what would he have done? I don't know. But he saw faith. So what did he do? He worked with them. And sometimes, you know, it's not faith. So what do you do about that? Live and learn. Live and learn. Abraham and Sarah lived and learned. It caused some problems, caused strife in their marriage. You know, she wanted to get rid of that little rascal. Of course, it was later on, but when Isaac came along. But, you know, I'm not gonna let that kid be with my kid. He's a troublemaker. So, you know, so it created all these problems. It created a storm. And, you know, so sometimes your storm that you're in creates more of a storm, right? Like Abraham and Sarah had a storm going on because nothing was happening. They're going to get old and not be able to, you know, Sarah's not going to have that thing going on that women have that allows them to have babies. And Abraham, you know, whatever's going on with him, and they're going like, maybe we should try something. So you get under that pressure. I've done it. You'll do it. You will do that sometime. Okay. Get up. Go at it again, man. Because what's happening is storm of doing nothing is sometimes we need to rise up. The super has a storm, as you know, the storm where Jesus said, peace be still. Remember, he's sleeping down in the boat and was laying out on the pillow, and the disciples were freaking out. They were like going, oh, my God, we're going down. You know, they were being moved, all right, by fear. And so Jesus got up and he calmed the storm. So I think sometimes, you know, when nothing's going on, like if Abraham and Sarah would have realized what kind of storm that was, because there's different kinds of storms. There's storms you walk on the water on, right? And there's storms that you say, peace be still. So when you have that nothing thing going on and it's nagging you about do something, and then you step out there and you do something and you find out that what you did was messed up, then, hey, okay, now you got to deal with that. But at the same time, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, on God, like Abraham and Sarah did, you know, eventually the promise will come to you. So just because you do something doesn't nullify, you know, God loves it when we step out by faith. You know, the thing is, what kind of faith are we in? You know, and so what kind of words, you know, faith comes by hearing. What was Abraham and Sarah hearing that they stepped out, you know, because I think they thought they were stepping out by faith, right? They weren't like trying to create an Ishmael to have problems. They were doing it. They were stepping out what they believed. They were stepping out by faith. So they were obviously hearing something that wasn't God. And even though God worked it all out for good, but he was hearing something. Sometimes what we hear, we step out on it and we think it's faith. Sometimes it's not, you know. So what I'm trying to say tonight is that, so a big deal. All right. So you want to do it again if you can help it. Try to save yourself by making sure that the inner thoughts of that storm that are coming at you about there's nothing going on, we better get something going on, or it's all going to fall apart. And then you start making moves, you know, to do that. And sometimes it ends up messing with you a little bit, maybe a lot. So, you know, but nevertheless, it doesn't nullify. This is the point I want to make tonight. If people think that it counts them out because they, you know, they made a mistake. And that's the biggest fear most people have is they step out, am I going to make a mistake? Yeah, you probably will. You probably will make some. Peter stepped out with Jesus' approval and still made a mistake. Sometimes you're going to step out with God's approval and you're going to make mistakes. The storm that's going to be in your head, the storm that's going to be on the outside, whatever the storm is coming from, the voice of that is loud. And God knows it is. And so he's trying to teach us how to discern what voice of what, you know, what kind of faith are you acting on? Are you acting on the faith of there's nothing going on, we better do something? Or is it God saying, you know, step out? So we got to learn to do that. In the process of doing it, it's not going to be pretty. It ain't going to be pretty. And if you're not afraid to look unpretty, you know, and all cute and got it all right, always do everything right. Every time I step out of my faith, yeah, I do everything right every time. No, you don't. There's nobody that's done that. Even Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, right? So he learned, I'm quoting a lot of scripture without giving you the exact, Hebrews 5 is what it says that. But you know, so anyway, this is what I keep hearing God say, and He's telling it to me over and over again. Randy, loosen my people to step out of faith. And when they make mistakes, if they do something, just like, you know, just say, do like Jesus did with Peter, you know, hey, you know, even though he had Jesus' word to step out, he still failed. Even with that, he failed. You know, what did Jesus say to him? He said, where's your faith at? Your faith was in doing good. And then your faith got in the loud noise of it's going to take you down. The storm is going to kill you. The storm is going to wipe you out. The storm is going to destroy you. The storm is going to hurt you. And those words, if you have fear inside you, any kind of fear, that's the beauty of that situation with Abraham and Sarah and with Peter and many others, is that the fear he had in him is what got him distracted, right? Fear can be a wonderful thing. And fear can be a thing that will distract you. And so, obviously, because Peter knew much about storms, he was, you know, born and raised in that on the Sea of Galilee, basically, and had his businesses and all that. He knew a lot about storms. Most people did. But he really knew a lot about it. He knew some really intimate things. He'd seen probably a lot of his friends destroyed by storms, that he happened to make it through them. So, you know, because he already had that information in his head, and he'd seen the natural destructive part of a storm, he's thinking, okay, I'm walking on the water, right? I pinch myself. I'm thinking, this is crazy. So when you get into the crazy realm, what people call crazy, or you're walking on the water, you're actually walking on the water, you're out stepping out, you know, man, the dimension you're in, your mind has to learn how to deal with that. Your mind has to learn how to deal with that. Because once you step out and you start getting the buzz on that you're walking on the water and that, oh, my God, look here, look what's going on. Say, yes, wow, ooh, wow. You know, a lot of people fail after they step out of the boat, walk in the water for a little while. You know why? Because it's difficult to deal with that. The glory of that, the glory of God that you're walking in, that it's a whole different realm. And that's why sometimes I think God gives it to people little by little. Little by little. And that's why it takes sometimes you have to work your faith, and it's about working. You're not working for your salvation, right? You're never going to do that. But you're working your faith when God tells you, you're working your faith. And it's developing things. And so it is a work. It really is a work. It's not just easy. You don't just lay back. Sometimes that's what most people don't realize. They think, well, if God's going to do it, God's going to do it. Yeah, well, it's whatever God says. That's what matters. Right? If he's saying, do something, then do it. If he's saying, you know, we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So we got to understand this both ways. There's two kinds of storms. The storm that Jesus said, peace be still. Sometimes we need to do that with our storms that are in our head, pushing us. Oh, my God, it's getting close. I can't have a baby anymore pretty soon. But, you know, very understandable. The pressure is real, you know, and that voice, that information coming to you telling you ain't nothing happening, so maybe you're missing it. Maybe you need to do something. Maybe you need to try something. And so you come up with an idea like Sarah did, and Abraham, of course, thought it was a great idea because, you know, they both wanted the promises of God. And so, yeah, so that storm, you know, cost them, but didn't cost them everything, right? God still brought the path. And just like the second kind of storm that you go through, you know, it's the kind of storm that you walk on the water. That's what Peter was doing. So, you know, when the storm is raging and you're within you and you're stepping out of the boat with God's approval, for sure, and you're walking by true faith and not just by information of fear of nothing's happening, not that storm. Because that storm, you need to say, peace be still to, right? You need to holler out or whatever. Speak out about that storm and say, peace be still. You know, I'm not going to, you know, do something like Abraham and Sarah did. I'm not going to create myself an Ishmael. Right. So then there, the storm that God allowed, that Jesus was walking on that water, instead of calming the storm, he walked on it. And that's the thing that we're learning to do. Right. So we learn to discern, what kind of storm are we in? Is the storm that I need to say, peace be still? If Sarah and Abraham would have said, peace be still, You know, they might not have made that mistake. And even though God had used it at the same time, you know, it was a major mistake. And so we look at their life and going like, I don't want to do the same thing. So what kind of, here's the what you need to ask. We need to ask, well, what kind of storm do I have going on? It's a storm of, oh, my God, there's nothing going on, so I got to step out and do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. Got to get something. And God wanted to give her a baby supernaturally, right? So some of you are like going, keep that one away from me, Randy, would you? Okay, I'm not going to. There's people out there who want babies, right? So, but the thing is it was getting late. It was, things were going on. The pressure was on. So, hey, you know, they tried to activate it. We're talking, especially the last couple of weeks, about, you know, not just activating, doing anything to activate what you think. It's learning how to discern what kind of storm is it. Why are you stepping? Why are you, you know, you need to say, peace be still. To that, there's nothing going on, or, you know, we better do something quick. We're going down. We're going to be destroyed. Yeah. And then, you know, Jesus got up and he said, you know, PPC, he said, you guys could have done the same thing. So if that's the storm you're in, rise up like Jesus did. And, you know, tell that voice, those voices, those things that are, you know, intimidating you and trying to get you to act on something. Peace be still. In fact, I want to come and agree with you right now tonight. If you have some of that stuff going on and it's pushing you, you know, is your need important? Absolutely. Sarah's need to have a baby was important, but God had a different plan. He actually wanted her to be unable to have a child, you know, be past the time of bearing. She wasn't going to get healed, obviously, she couldn't have a baby even before her period dried up, right? But her, you know, so she could get healed and have a baby through the healing of that while she was able to have children in her mind. But once her cycle stopped and she couldn't have any more, it's like, what are we going to do with that, right? But that's what God wanted. He wanted her to not be able to have a child in any fashion or form. He wasn't going to heal her. He was going to resurrect her. Sometimes God wants to heal you. Sometimes God wants to resurrect you. Right? And we need to know, I don't know if we need to know the difference. We need to trust God to let us walk in that, you know, what he wants. So there's never, that's why it's hard to, without a word from the Lord, it's hard to tell somebody, do this and don't do that, you know. When Job's friends were telling him he was wrong, you know, he wasn't wrong. It was a whole different thing going on. So most of the time, they would have been right. You know, who would reap something like that, you know, without them doing something wrong? Most people, but it wasn't true in his case. So that's why we have to be really careful that we don't, you know, project on people because nothing's going on means that it's not going to happen if they don't, you know, step out and do something or they've done something wrong. And sometimes the case is that they've done something wrong. They need to get right with God, right? I've had to tell people at times, you need to get that right with God, you know, because you're being judged for something you've done. It's not going to keep you from heaven. You know, you need to come in agreement with God and get rid of that thing out of your life so you can, your eyes will be open so you can, you know, receive whatever you need to receive from God. Yeah, our sin blinds us. It doesn't keep us. Sin does not keep you from heaven. You don't go to heaven because you're sinless. You go to heaven because you're born again. That's why you go to heaven, because you're born again. Yeah, that's it, period. But sin, what sin does is it blinds you from being able to see God's will, to see his word. You can read the word, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. But until you see it, you're not going to see it. Not that God can't do it supernaturally. So you see what I'm saying? You can say, oh, it's all this. No, wait a minute, it's all that. They told Jesus, why is this man blind? Ask him, why is this man blind from birth? He said, is it his father and mother or what is it? And Jesus said, no, it's for the glory of God. Well, of course it was probably because of genetic sin. Of course, but the point was something completely different. He said, oh, that wasn't a genetic sin. That was just something, you know. No, it was a genetic sin, but the purpose for all that was going was a completely different deal. So you have to understand the purpose. Was that genetic? Yeah. But was it? The reason that he's blind, you know, is that he hasn't been healed, that he hasn't had his eyes open. No, he's going to get his eyes open for the glory of God. Amen. So I guess what, because people want to nail everything down. I want to nail everything down to get a formula. You know, if you're not doing this, it ain't going to happen. If you ever mess up bad enough with God, it's not going to happen. Not true. Not true. Sometimes with some people, with Abraham, he messed up, him and Sarah messed up really bad, but God still did it right. So we know that not in every case, your really major mess ups are going to stop you, right? Just keep your eyes on Jesus and rebuke that storm that is raging, trying to get you to step out and do something. It's going to cost you time. It costs you money. It may cost you whatever. They make you look bad, but you're going to recover. You know, you will recover. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the big thing. So, anyway, all right, there you go. Let's take callers here in this moment. I've been wanting to talk about the DNA realm a little bit more. I've been getting a lot more information about that. So, how are y'all doing tonight? Hopefully you're doing good. Yeah, we talked the other night about the purpose of giving your will to God. Once you give your will to God, that gives him permission to do stuff without your permission, right? Because you already gave him your permission. You got to think about that with it. And that's the thing that God's been dealing with me about. It's kind of a mercy thing with God when he draws you in to give your will to him at different levels. There are different levels of giving your will to God. And so, you know, Jesus did it at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but your will. So he gave his will to God in a whole other level. And because of that, you know, God was able to do really what Jesus didn't want because he, you know, of course, he began to want it because he understood, you know, that it was the Father's will. But he wasn't wanting to suffer all that, you know, at that time at least. And so, yeah, so your will, Jesus gave his will to God at a deeper level at that time, fork in the road. Sometimes, you know, he gave his will to God at different levels all the way through his life, right? It's amazing. Abraham the same way. So when you give your will to God in that fork in the road, you say, okay, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to try to get something going on without your will. Please help me not to do that. Please, I rebuke that storm in Jesus' name. Be peaceful. Be at peace. Be at rest. I speak peace to you. Stop raging in Jesus' name. And so, okay, God, okay, the storm stopped. Praise God. Thank God I didn't do, you know, listen to that fear trying to come at me and move by fear. Fear brings the wrong kind of faith, right? It causes you to do things that you really don't want to do. And, you know, but you find out that after you do it, that you got messed up by it, right? Yeah, that's what fear does. So, yeah, people that struggle with a lot of anxiety and stress, they have a harder time coming out of that. They do a lot of things thinking they're hearing from God, you know, and they're not. They're motivated by fear or anger or unforgiveness or something. And a lot of people do a lot of things under the voice of unforgiveness by faith, the faith of the voice of the wrong kind of faith of unforgiveness, right? I wanted to do a thing or two myself out of the voice, if you will, or the energy or the impressions of unforgiveness, because you think I want these people to get by with what they did? No way. They took that from me. They robbed the show. Let them get by with it? Not going to happen. Yeah. And so, yeah, God has to deal with this. Yeah. So when you set your will and say, God, not my will, I refuse to go do this thing that my fear is wanting me to do. I refuse to act upon this thing that's going to cause me a lot more grief and a lot more trouble and a lot more sorrow. I refuse to do that. And I'm going to give it to you, let go of it, and let you have it. Right? Peace be still to that storm. Right? Man, I'm talking to God is talking to somebody tonight. Do not be moved with fear and anger and unforgiveness. All those things are passionate, and they will cause you to do things that you will regret, right? Been there, done that. And some of the things, thank God he kept me from doing, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah. All right. All right. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. I'd love to tell some of my stories of things I did by fear. I've talked about them a little bit before, but so let me talk about them tonight. Just to let everybody know that I've done my share of those things, and of course, I'm not quite an Ishmael-type situation, but a lower level, because I'm not in Abraham's position. What was going on with him was a major position that he was in. And so that major position and all the pressure that came with it really did cause him, you know, some problems. And pressure with moving in is a lot. If you don't learn how to adjust to it, you will find yourself messed up. Yeah, I've done it. I've done it, been there. So that's what we're trying to do tonight is say to those words, to that fear, to that unforgiveness, whatever's going on, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Do not move. You know, like the disciples did, they went and said, man, we're all going to die. Don't you even care? You know, like Jesus went, man, you guys ain't got it yet. Let me show you. See, you could have done this too. So they were all moved with, you know, they were probably thinking they were walking by faith by running in there telling Jesus, you know, we're all going to go down. We're all going to die. Like, you know, wake up, Jesus, and save us. That wasn't faith. It was fear. How many times do we get motivated by fear? Amen. It's always, we always end up looking back going, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, right? Yeah. So peace be still to that storm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's take callers tonight. See what's going on. All right, my first caller tonight, 804 370, first in line tonight. Who am I talking to with him, please?
I fooled you. This is Angie from Virginia.
Oh, my God. I got to change your number. You changed your number.
No, I didn't change my number. I got a different phone that you wouldn't recognize. I have a table full of women, so guess what? You're going to be busy for a minute. What,
okay,
the first
good.
One's
like
Rhonda. We got a Rhonda, we got a Laura, and then we got an Angie.
Okay, hang on a second here. I'm going to make sure I get that on my phone. So I don't...
And I can't talk because I can't talk, so I'm just going to let you do it because I just introduced everybody.
Oh, thank you. Okay,
we got Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A. We got Laura, yeah. L-A-U-R-A, and you can spell my name any way you want to.
Okay, and then Ange, okay. All right. Unless you change your name along with your phone number.
No, not yet.
But who
not
knows?
Yet.
That may be the word of the Lord tonight. God is changing your numbers and changing your name. like Jacob and, you know, like Jacob became Israel, yeah. A good thing. All right, let's pray over Rhonda. Thank you, Lord, for Rhonda tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence, God, that she hears from God, that she knows, learning how to discern, you know, the voice of God, and not being afraid to, you know, the Bible says test and see if God will not, you know, do something for you. Sometimes we have to test things. Not being afraid to test things, not being afraid to, you know, it's one thing to test something. It's a whole other thing to all their money. They got, you know, $1,000 or $100,000 in the bank. And they say, I'm going to invest all this in a company. And they take all of it. Mm-hmm. So they're not really testing anything. They're just taking everything they got. So that's not really a test. So I'm not, when I say testing, I'm saying take everything you got, invest in some company, you know, test it. Sometimes we have to test and see. And to know, you know, God, you want me to, are you want me to do a business here? How big you want it to be? And we start little by little, just like in relationship, you know, we're looking for marriage, we should be looking for marriage. We're made to be married. You know, most people are. And so, you know, when you start with a relationship, you don't just jump whole hog in most of the time. You test it out. Is this, do I have friendship? Can I be friends? So there's a thing of testing things, and God's going to really show you how to test things so that you will, you know, like the next day when you take all your money and you invest into a business, you go like, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, you're going to save yourself that fear by taking the steps that God gives you. God will give you steps little by little. So, Lord, I thank you for giving Rhonda each step that she needs so that she will be confident and strong, knowing that, you know, she's testing, you know, the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that not testing God doesn't mean, you know, doubting him. It means that we, you know, we don't know everything. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we don't know how to pray as we ought. Right, but the Spirit of God intercedes inside of us to show us how to do it. So what we got to realize is that we got to take that pressure off of us, Rhonda, that we got to do everything perfect. It's all going to be exactly right. When Paul the Apostle himself said, "Man, you know, I don't know what to do. Yeah, sometimes I don't know what to pray." We got the mighty warrior, a Benjaminite. Benjaminites were mighty warriors. He was a Benjaminite Jew, a wolf. They called. They were wolves. That they were called. That's what they were called. People think there's good wolves. There are good wolves and bad wolves. You know, Paul was a good wolf. He was a Benjaminite. That's what Benjaminite means. And so, you know, he went to warfare, and yet at the same time, you know, he said, "I don't really know what to do sometimes. You know, I don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought." He wasn't saying "we" because he was thinking just y'all. He was talking about himself. He said, "We don't always know how to pray as we ought." So we have to realize that sometimes we take things, we test things, we try things, you know, just like a relationship, just like anything else. We test it and try to see, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, if you taste of something, you take a taste of it, you take a test of it, you kind of dip your finger in it and put it in your mouth. You're going like, you know, like when you're cooking something, you test it, right? You don't feed it to people. You put your finger in there and you taste it. You go like, oh my gosh, I forgot to put sugar in this thing. Oh, I'm glad I didn't cook it like that. Oh my God, because you're testing something, right? It's not about. So we got to test things and see and you know, let God lead us in how to test. You know, like. You know, when you're testing food that you're going to be serving it, you know yourself. You know sometimes you forget to put, you know, something in there that one of the main ingredients, because you got 10 things going on, you're cooking at the same time. So you got to test it, taste it yourself a little bit, you know, and taste and see that the Lord is good. So sometimes if you taste of something and you see that the mixture's not right, it doesn't mean it's not God. It just means that you need to, don't forget to add a little bit of this, add a little bit of that. It doesn't mean that the thing is wrong. You just start to add the right ingredients to. Sometimes the right ingredients can be people. If you're doing a business thing or a ministry thing or a group thing or whatever, sometimes it's the people you have involved. You know, I have three people. Maybe you need to have one more people, or maybe God needs to, you know, have one of them, you know, do something else and get the mixture. So you never know. The mixture is amazing. It's like when you're cooking food and you forget, you know, the salt or the sugar. Or whatever it is that you're putting in it, you know, God's going like, you know, hey. So we've got to test it and see and not be afraid. And the ingredients of people in our life, like when Jonah was in the boat, remember? Why was that boat going down? That boat wasn't going down because God was trying to judge those guys in the boat because they were some heathens. No, it was going down and the storm was raging because Jonah was in the boat. Right, that's why. So they drew lots. The lot fell on Jonah, and he started confessing. He said, "Yeah, man, I'm sorry, man. I've been running from God." So as soon as they didn't want to throw him overboard, but he made him. He said, "Throw me overboard, please. Throw me overboard. Get rid of me. Get rid of me." He says, "Get rid of me." So because he knew he was the problem. So when he got out of the boat, the boat started going good. So the ingredients of people can be everything. The ingredients in food. The ingredients in testing something. You know, test it a little bit. Try it. You know, do some research on it. And, so anyway, I don't know what's going on with all that. But thank you, Jesus, for Rhonda, for showing her how to take one step at a time. And people call the leap of faith. Sometimes the leap of faith comes because people have been testing things for a while. We don't see the testing part. All we see is the leap of faith. But those people, most of those people who took leaps of faith were, you know, tested and tested and tested. They go, okay, God, I see that you're with me in this. Okay, now I'm going to take my leap of faith. So, Lord, I thank you for that with her, in Jesus' name, and everything she does, that she will do it with wisdom and knowledge and grace. Amen. And you're going to bless her. You're going to increase her and multiply her, because she's going to do it according to wisdom, according to wisdom. When you're doing in wisdom, you save yourself a lot of trouble. you have a lot less losses. Sometimes you're going to have losses no matter what you do. Sometimes they have a little bit of loss. I'm not talking about major loss. Sometimes you have a little bit of lossless stuff. So what? That's part of it. You get up and you do it again. You test it again. It doesn't taste right. You add a little this, add a little that. You know, pray a little differently. Sometimes it's our prayers that are hindering us, and we need to test our prayers out. People think prayers, every time I pray a prayer, man, it's perfect. No, it ain't. Paul the Apostle said himself, I don't know how to pray as I ought. So I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to show me when I don't know. So there's times that we don't know. That's just it. It's no big deal. It's not that we're carnal. We're spiritual people. So, Lord, I thank you for blessing her, for giving her the wisdom on how to be blessed. Sometimes people get blessed and they lose it all. Why? Because they didn't start out in wisdom. They didn't use wisdom. And you start out in wisdom and you keep using wisdom, you increase and you multiply and it grows bigger and fatter and more beautiful and more powerful. And yeah, in Jesus' name, so bless her with that, God. Increase her and multiply her in the name of Jesus. All right. So, Laura, thank you, Lord, for Laura tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for teaching her how to meditate on your word, that when you give her words and information, whether it be a little bitty teeny-weeny word, maybe she heard something in her heart, you know, to learn how to, instead of just, again, jumping to the conclusion that I know what that means. You know, there's many times, Laura, I've gotten words from God. I mean, that word definitely worked. Just like Abraham got a word from God, I'm going to bless you. But he still messed up some stuff, you know. So we mess up stuff sometimes. So what, you know, what God's going to really show you how to do is to, yeah, it's to let him, the exact word that I had on that. Oh, my gosh, in Jesus' name, come back here. What was I saying about that? Remind me here. I got to go on, and my brain started going 10 different places.
Sometimes I feel like I've messed up, and I can't get back on track.
Can't get back on track. Okay, there you go. Yeah, and so it does feel like that. It's exactly what it feels like, and that's what the devil wants to tell you, because sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, and so we don't know how to pray as we ought. You know, we have to depend on God, and sometimes we mess up and make mistakes. Here we go. We make mistakes, and we think that that's it for us. That's why the whole message tonight, really, before I came on, before we started talking to you guys, was about how Abraham messed up. And the devil did. I'm sure the devil told him, man, you know, look what you did. Now your wife is, you know, eventually his wife got mad at him and said, get rid of him, you know, get rid of that child. What have I done? And they, you know, but you know what? Even when Abraham and Sarah messed up before Isaac was ever even born, you know, you they could see that it was wrong after a while because it created strife. Remember she started making fun of Sarah? Oh, I got a baby and you don't. Could you imagine what that was like when she's the one who allowed her to come in and thought it would be a blessing for her? And then when she started mocking Sarah, you know, I got a baby, you don't. You know, like, you know, yeah, we do. And so Sarah probably started going, oh, my God, I've really messed up. Oh, my God. And so it built up and built up and built up and got worse and worse and worse. And Abraham's going like, honey, no problem. It's going to work out. And she's like going, I like to bite you, Abraham. So when Isaac, what happened? Isaac still came. The promise still came. So the lie that says I can't recover is we definitely go to the Bible and we see the major mess they made. I'm sure you've never made a major mess like that. I mean, that's a major mess. That was a big mess. We're talking about Christ, the Savior of the world, coming through that seed. And they decide to do what they did to mess up the seed so that Christ couldn't. That's why God told Abraham to get rid of Ishmael, because he didn't want all that mixture coming in. He wanted to have a pure seed for a pure child. That's how big that was. That was like Savior of the world. You're fixing to mess it up, Abraham. I'm trying to bring the Savior that I've been planning for thousands of years, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And now look what you just did. You messed it up. But you know what? God didn't case, hey, I've chosen you. You know, and the devil started telling Abraham and Sarah, oh, that's it, man, you really blew it. They could feel the energy of the strife that was going on between him and Sarah. And they just thought, man, we really messed this up. You know, this is going to be nothing but trouble. And then one day, God shows up. I love this, man. God shows up one day through some angels or whatever. He says, okay, 9 months from now, you're going to be having a baby. And Sarah could hear it. And she's like going, yeah.
She was so messed up by her mistake because she was in on it just like Abraham was, just like Adam and Eve were together. They were both messed up on it. She was so messed up on that. She had kind of gone. She'd already given it all over. Like, yeah, I ain't got no baby. You know, we got Ishmael, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And when she heard that, she busted a gut laughing. Like, yeah, yeah, sure. And she laughed. The Bible says she laughed. So am I going to have pleasure at this old age, you know, being able to have a child and being able to have the pleasure of raising a child and all that? So she had pretty well just kind of given up, and the devil had run a heyday on her. And so the whole message tonight, if you listened to that earlier, was that what we're telling people tonight is, listen, look what they did, and they still got the promise. They still got the promise. The promise still came. So that lying devil that's lying to you, Laura, and to whoever tonight, he's a liar. He's a thief. And you know what? God's gonna unlock your faith. He's going to unlock your faith, and you're going to see yourself. You're going to start seeing yourself doing things that you couldn't even dream of before. God's going to show you how to, he's going to show you how to dream again. He's going to show you how to dream again and live again. You're going to live in your dream and dream in your live. Dreaming your live? What does that mean? I don't know. But anyway, I think it's just a double dose. Dreaming your live. We need to phrase that and put that T-shirt on that. Dream your live.
I'm
what?
Crying and
dream my live. And then people are going, man,
God has
touched
me in a mighty way with this word.
Yeah, yeah. Dream your live. All it's going to do is ask people. They're going to stop you and say, "Man, do you realize that that's a dream you're living?" Say, "Leave your dream. Live your dream." You go, "Yeah, yeah." But now that you're asking me, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, it'd be like a, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
So let's move past that. So the whole thing is that, you know, like the whole message tonight, and just, you just happen to be on, you know, with us tonight, you guys, and everybody else listening that's had the same things going with them, because we're talking to a lot of people tonight. I think every person in the body of Christ has had that thing, like, look what I messed up, look what I messed up, look what I messed up. So what? Once we say, God, forgive me for what I did, Abraham and Sarah said, they got it right, and God says, you know, okay, here comes the promise, here comes the promise, here comes the promise, down promise lane. Wait a minute, that sounds like Santa Claus. We don't want Santa Claus here. Yeah, so here comes the promise, down promise lane, towards you in Jesus' name. And God is saying, you know, just like he did Abraham and Sarah, he said, you know what? I listen to this, Lord. I've called you to do, to be done more than you do, because what I've called you to do is part of my kingdom and part of the work that I'm doing in the kingdom. Just like with Abraham and Sarah, he said, man, I know you guys really messed that up bad. You're forgiven. You know what? And I want to bring Isaac to you so bad, because it's such a part of my kingdom, and it was going to bring Jesus. It's such a part of what I want to do that I'm going to bring it because of how important it is to me. It's not just about how important you are. It's about how important what purpose I've given you, the importance of your purpose that I've given you is not just because you can go, look, I did the will of God. No, it's so that God can say, hey, that fit in with this, and that fit in with that. And if Laura hadn't fulfilled her place with me, that part of the kingdom would have suffered. But no, because God says, I want to bless you, Laura, then more than you want to be blessed. So remove that, God. Loosen that from her in Jesus' name, and bless her, God, and bless her socks off, God. Just bless her socks off if she would wear socks. Bless her socks off. In Jesus' name, and open the womb of her heart up to be able to conceive the birthing of something new in her life, God, in Jesus' name. A vision that her visionary, the visionary part of her will come alive again, so she can dream again and be able to have vision in her life. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about too earlier. This is where I thank you, Jesus. This shows you how God's in this. So what did he do with when I started talking earlier that God's going to show you how to meditate, right? That's where I was going. Because what happens with us is if we don't learn how to meditate on God's word, like he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, meditate on the word. and you will be successful. Successful means not just doing something that everybody goes, oh, they were successful. Success means with God, you're going to do my will. So the importance of focusing on what God is telling you instead of what the devil's telling you, telling all this stuff to you, instead of focusing on that, learning how to meditate. Meditate means you're able to forget all the information of the fears and the whatever, the mistakes and whatever you make, and being able to meditate on what God is saying, amen, and then you will be successful. Because Joshua had a lot of fears, or God wouldn't have showed up and said, don't be fearful, be courageous, be thinking he was telling the end. He was full of fear. He was having fear issues big time. Now he's the leader of Israel, right? So I know I'm saying a lot of information, but this is one thing that I got in the very beginning with you, was that God says he's going to show you, because when we lose sight of meditating on what God has said to us and we start listening to both, we get confused. We get a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Why? Not because they're stupid, because they get their mind on part of what the devil's telling them and part of what God, just like Peter did. Peter got a double-mindedness going on. At first he was on Jesus. He made a mistake, started sinking. He failed. Why? Because he let his mind be torn divided. And when he did that, then the enemy had it. Divide and conquer. So what God is saying to you, he's going to show you, he's going to anoint you and give you the ability to focus. I like the word focus better than meditate, because people say meditate means, but to focus on what God is saying to you, and therefore, you know, all that other stuff is just going to go away. It's going to go away. Why? Because your focus is going to be on what Jesus is saying to you, what the Lord is saying to you. There's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, and literally he means that. He told that to Abraham. I'm not going to condemn you for that, Abraham, because I got a will that I need to get done. God is more interested in getting his will done than he is about what we messed up on. Okay, you messed it up. Okay, now let's focus on my will, because I need my will done with you, Laura. I need my will done, because what I've got to do through you is important to me. So thank you, Jesus, for opening Laura up, God, and blessing her and anointing her with the reverential fear of God at a new level in her life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And anoint her and appoint her. Show her that you have appointed her. And like every other person in the Bible, including David and all of them, most of all of them made major mistakes. And yet God still, even with David, said, you're a man after my own heart. We talk more about David than we do about anybody else. And he messed up really, 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 really bad. So it shows us how when God says, there's therefore no condemnation to Christ Jesus, it's because sometimes we have a good reason to be condemned, right? When the woman was caught in an act of adultery, right? We kind of deserve that in the natural realm. But in the spirit realm, we don't deserve it, because Jesus said, I've come to do a different thing. You guys want to stone her for what the law says, and I made the law. And I'm telling you, I came here to deliver people from their faults, from their failures, from their iniquities, from their mistakes. So you see what I'm saying? So God says that, when Jesus came, all that law stuff about they deserve to die totally changed. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation to you, though you may deserve it in the natural realm for whatever reason. Like Abraham and Sarah deserve some condemnation. But God said, man, I'm going to rebuke that off you, because you know what? I'm more interested in my purpose being done in you than I am in your failure. Because God wants it more than you do. And you want to be blessed. I'm hoping you do. In Jesus' name. So, Laura, I thank you. God, I thank you for Laura. I thank you for blessing her, God. I thank you for showing her how to meditate. Think on those things that are pure and lovely, like the scripture says. And you're going to find yourself, all that other stuff is just going to just fall off of you. Just going to fall off of you. In Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of condemnation. I rebuke everything, because I had to deal with that a lot in my life. I could do some little nothing thing wrong. I mean, not stealing, cheating, lying, committing adultery, or doing something really, you know, the worser sins, which in my life, I've done a little bit of all of it, you know, in my life. But when I got right with God, you know, he changed a lot of that. And so, so the Lord is like saying, I've given you a new life, and you're going to learn how to meditate and walk in that new life. And therefore, I'm going to make you successful. That's what's going to make you successful, is that. Amen. All right. And then Angie tonight, thank you, Lord, for Angie. Thank you, Lord, for her love for people, her love for a vision. She loves to she wants to see the wounded healed, the people who have who need miracles, just like she's needed miracles in her life, started, you know, finding ways to seek you first. Sometimes we don't really know how to seek God first. Most people don't really know how to seek God first. We tell them to seek God first, but then we don't tell them how to do it, you know, or God, they're not able to hear, you know, how do I seek God first? What does that mean? I go to church every day of the week. Do I listen to Blog Talk every night of the week? No, it's not about that. Putting God first, it's just what goes on inside your heart. So, God, I thank you for this new level with my sister, God, with Angie, to put God first, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the kingdom of God for me and righteousness for me is different from you. It's all about Jesus. But what the kingdom of God for me is, as far as the kingdom goes, in my job, is the prophetic realm. That's my job. That's my calling. If I try to do something else and divide myself up by trying to have, you know, a healing ministry and all those other ministries, I focus on one thing that God showed me. And then if he heals people. But I focus on that one thing. And that's called seeking first the kingdom of God for me. Well, somebody else, they're not called to do what I'm doing. They're called to do something else, maybe something greater, maybe something more amazing, you know, whatever the thing is. But if they start trying to do what I'm doing because they think, oh, yeah, I really like Randy. He's a nice guy. God really uses him. I think I want to try to do that. I did that with Catherine Coleman. I thought Catherine Coleman was the greatest person that ever lived. And I wanted to be just like her, except the female part, right? I like my male. I like my male self. And so, but we're going to keep that straight. These days you have to make sure you keep that stuff straight. People might get messed up. But I didn't want to be a girl, but I loved the way the Holy Spirit used her and the beauty of that. So I started trying to have healing services. And what happened is, you know, even though God was doing some things that probably just kind of trying to keep me happy, I don't know, but there was something in me that knew that it wasn't right. I'm going, how could this not be right, man? This is amazing. And what was not right about it wasn't healing people. It was that he wanted me to prophesy to people. He said, I've called you to be a prophet. It took me years to find that out. I'm going like, wow, I don't like prophets, Lord. You know, I never did like prophets, what I knew about them. I don't want to be one of them. And so I rejected it for years. So once I got focused on it, that was the kingdom of God for me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness for Randy was that, right? Other people, it's going to be business. It's going to be a healing ministry. It's going to be, you know, how to heal people in the natural realm and how to do so, whatever that is, when you start seeking God first in that, that's when your prosperity begins to break loose. I'm not talking about money. The money is definitely prosperity, but the prosperity of just God working in your behalf. Prosperity is God working in your behalf because you focused on him, and now because God, you found the focus, you're seeking first the kingdom of God for you and what you're supposed to do. And when you do that, then you begin to prosper because you begin to watch God work in your behalf. And that is true prosperity. He starts touching whatever you touch. He starts blessing what you touch because now you're reaching out and touching, you know, what you're called to touch. You know, the Bible says where two or more agree as touching something, you know, touching something is extremely important. What are you touching? Well, with me, it was touching what I was called to do. Same thing with you. When you come into agreement with God, you start touching what God's called you to do. Woo! I mean, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things start being added to you. That's prosperity. Prosperity isn't just money. Money's nice. We all need money. It's the provision of God. But money without prosperity is worthless because prosperity is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then your prosperity, all those other things are just added to you. They just come to you. Verity is when God is blessing you, when you're focused, when you find it. So thank you, Lord, for Ange, God, her love for people, her love for health, her love for wholeness, because that's what all the Holy Spirit's interested in, is health and wholeness with people. And there's many different levels to do that, and I thank you, Jesus, for all the natural things you're using her to do, the spiritual things, the things you've healed her of, the things you've showed her, God, and the fact that she spent time with that wonderful lady, Ruth Heflin, and that, just like me, I wish I could have spent time with Catherine Coleman, you know, to see more closely what she was like. I only went to one of her meetings in my life. But you got the privilege, man, of, you know, so, but it doesn't mean you're going to do exactly what she did, but just like I don't do exactly what Catherine Coleman, the Holy Spirit uses me, in a creative miracle way, but it's in the prophetic realm. In the prophetic realm. So it took me a while to see that. Once I saw it, I started prospering. What does prospering mean? All those other things are added to you. You're not struggling and grunting and groaning, oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on. You don't have to tell an orange tree. You don't have to prophesy an orange tree to bring forth oranges. It's going to bring forth oranges anyway. You just want to make sure you're watering it and taking care of it. That's how you do it. You water it and take care of it. And it'll bring forth the oranges. You don't have to grunt and groan and every time, you know, oh, come on, oranges, come forth. It's going to come. The oranges are going to come forth. We got to make sure we water it. Right? You only plant that seed for that tree once. You plant the seed once, and then you spend the rest of its life watering it. Most people don't. I never got that until the last month or so. God's been speaking to me, Ange, about learning how to water things, water people. You know, water things. He said you'll plant a seed once, and then you got to water it. Instead of planting 1,000 seeds, then it never comes up because we don't learn how to water it. How do you water something? That's a good question. And we're gonna be talking about that soon. We have been talking about it already, but ways to water. How do you water? Because you spend the whole life of a tree from its inception, from it bursting out of the ground, and what do you do every day? You don't plant more of them. No, you water it, water it, water it. You water it. Don't water it too much. Don't get watered enough. You learn how to water. Some people water things and they kill their dream because they're watering it too much. We learn how to water, right? You don't want to create problems. So learning how to water. Water is extremely important. This is something new that God can show me. So thank you, Lord, for opening up Ange and showing her how to water what she's already planted. She's planted so many seeds in so many ways and so many people and so many different things. Lord, I thank you for showing her how to water it. Amen. Water, water, water. Paul planted, Apollos watered. And then who gave the increase? God gave the increase, not them. What did they do? Paul planted. How many times do you plant? Well, you can plant many different kinds of trees. But once you get that tree planted, it's one seed. Then you water it the rest of its life. It's like a flower. You plant a flower, you plant it, seed. You plant that flower one time, and then you water it the rest of its life. So that God started showing it to me like that. He said, Randy, I'm going to start showing you about watering because most people are not really learning how to water their visions and their dreams and their purposes. Yeah, anyway, okay, so you're teaching her how to do that, God, and how to water people like she's doing tonight. She's helping water her friends. They've got lots of seeds in them. Sometimes some of those seeds have to be plucked up, seeds, thoughts that the enemy's putting in us. I deal with that all the time. He's always plucking those seeds. I pluck that out, pluck that out, pluck that out. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and sometimes it's had a little time to grow. Sometimes we have to pull things up by the root. It's had a little more time to grow. It's not just a seed anymore. It's become like a, you know, a 10-foot bush, and we have to, you know, dig around it and pull it out. That's part of life, you know. You go fishing, you gather in a 1,000 fish. You keep the good ones, you throw the bad ones away. That's just part of life. So thank you, Lord, for showing Ange how to pluck up what needs to be plucked up when it comes to people's lives to help them get those things out of the way so they can grow and nurture. Amen. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Any questions or any? If you have any questions about anything, no question is dumb or no question is whatever. You have any questions or you want to say, I don't understand that? Can you explain that? Yeah, I'd be glad to try. So ask away.
Oh no, I'm absolutely blessed with mine.
I was too. Absolutely, I was crying and blessed. That the word was so close to what I had been hearing.
Oh, I can't tell who I'm talking to.
I just thank you for being
available,
being the person that God uses as the vessel to speak His word.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's a joy. Are you kidding me? I'm addicted to this. Why would I not be doing it? I love it. Yeah.
Aww.
Thank you, though. I appreciate it very much.
It's amazing, and we thank God for you.
Now, who am I talking? Who's that?
That's Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Hi.
Laura. Hi,
Laura.
Laura. I got it. I got it, man. Laura.
Yeah.
Laura. And Rhonda.
Okay.
And Rhonda feels very blessed, also. Very blessed.
Rhonda says, "What
very
I'm sorry."
Happy.
Oh,
I said,
what,
and Rhonda feels very blessed.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Oh, good. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus.
You hit everybody pretty good in the realm of the table. We're sitting around the table, and I was determined that we were going to bring in the prophetic because.
We need to hear it.
We needed some
water. There you go. I heard to say.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to learn how to water, and Angie is able to produce some of that water for her friends here.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
We needed a blessing, and I needed to hear what I heard.
We needed a ripper and a tripper.
And you let it wet the whistles. Learning to pluck and throw away and want to keep and all that's so important, and you know, learn to live in faith and have faith and put your trust in God, and you know, and remember that He's bigger than all of our problems and all that. You know, in times when you're going through these storms and these hardships and stuff, it's kind of hard, you know, to sometimes
it is.
Really decipher, to really decipher, you know, is God leading me this way or, you know, taking it in my flesh or what? And you get so much on you that, you know, you put your faith in God and you just let God lead you. And, you know, if it's God's will, it's going to be done. And just some of the words that you were saying tonight touches the whole situation that, you know, in a battle that God has me in right now, and I'm praising God that, you know, just for the protection and the guidance and everything.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, being thankful, you know, thankful for life in general anyway, and what He's done for me, and knowingly that, you know, He's brought me through so many things in life that, you know, you know how to trust Him, you know, when to trust Him and how to talk to Him, but sometimes you just feel like...
condemned.
Yeah, or something. You just look at the time in your life when you are, you just want God to feel the presence of God with the knowing that it's Him talking to you and getting a word or a feeling or, let me say, a completion of, you know,
it's not even with the world and the condition that it is in this day and time. Condemnation has a lot more of a are you going to be called racist? Are you going to be called that you don't have love in your heart because you don't believe in the way people live. The different things that society is trying to put on God's people, and God's people starting to say, shut up. I don't care. I worship the one and only God, and He's got this.
Yeah.
And it's time for people to stand up everywhere and do that, not just,
and they try, and
you know, don't
like you
think
said,
it's in your church it's going to happen, because it's not going to happen in your churches. It's going to happen in the byways and highways. God's going to bring them to the church, but it's going to happen in the byways as Christians meet people out here on the road, everywhere they're at, whether they're going to work or they're going to church or they're going... God is getting people ready for His coming, and His church cannot be this dirty when He gets here. People have got to stand up, because if you don't, people, you're going to be left behind, because God's got an appointed time to be here. God's got an appointed time for Jesus to be here, and He's going to be here at that appointed time. Are you going to miss out on yours? Are you going to miss out on what God's got for you?
Yeah, right.
And that's what I've been going through. So I just feel like a lot of times that's what everybody else around us are going through. That, you know, you're afraid to step out because of what the world's going to say to you.
Yeah, somebody's going to say you're mean. You don't have any love because you don't agree with the perversion that goes on. You love the person, but you hate the perversion because you know the perversion is going to end up perverting them, you know, changing them into something they don't want to be. And then they're going to wake up 5 years from now going like, oh, my God, look what I did to myself. And now, you know, so then they look at you, they change her, they go, man, I wish I'd have listened to that lady. But in the meantime, they condemn you. Yeah, so we really have to deal with that a lot. Condemnation.
Condemnation is a thing that and the sad that God's people are scared of, and they don't need to be scared of because they need to know who they worship and they need to realize who they worship. He's bigger than this. He's bigger than us. We are His creation. We are not the Creator, and we need to realize what He created in us, and that is to praise Him. That's what we're supposed to do. We are not supposed to be out here telling people what they can and cannot do. We're supposed to be out here praising God, living our lives for Him, and going by His word.
Yep.
And
amen.
That's what's been on my heart for a good 6 months.
Yeah.
So y'all got it.
Yeah. If you know the thing I loved about that word about meditating was that, you know, when you meditate on something, that means you focus your attention on it. You know, that's what meditation is really focus. I like the word focus much better, but the word the Bible uses meditation. So, but meditation is so abused in the name, the word meditation is so messed up. But to focus on what God is saying, I mean, that's what keeps you from, you know, listening to the storm. If Peter would have stayed focused on what Jesus told him, he said, come on. So Jesus tells you to come on, you can walk on the water. That means you can do it. And what happens is the storm gets getting closer and starts raging, and then we get our eyes on that. We listen to that, and we end up, you know, sinking temporarily. So it's just so what I really like about that word about meditation, like God told Joshua, is that it causes you to totally focus on that thing, on that word, on that information. And then all the other stuff, even though it's still raining at you, but you just learn, you just kind of like, I don't know if ignore it's the right word. You don't really have to ignore it because what you're doing is you're paying attention to what God says. You pay attention to that, you don't become double-minded. You know, fear is not able to enter in, but we all go through that battle. We become stronger and stronger. We step out and we fail a little bit. We get up again. We go at it again. We got to never be afraid to get up and go again. Just like Jesus told Peter, he said, man, you know, look how many times Peter messed up. Peter's a great example of messing up. He's really good at that. You know, he denied Jesus. What did Jesus do? He said, man, you're going to feed my sheep. You're going to preach the first message on the day of Pentecost. And he just denied Jesus, you know, a few days before that. And it's amazing. So we live under this thing of condemnation. We condemn ourselves more than you know, anybody else does. The devil, once the devil knows you're condemning yourself, he just says, I don't need to mess with her anymore, or mess with him anymore. And that condemnation will take him out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thank
you. All right, you guys. It's been great. Any last
words? All right,
well,
thank you so much for spending so much of your time on us tonight. Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. Okay. Thank you, guys. We love you guys. Thank you, Ange, for bringing your friends on. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. All right, love you too. All right, bye-bye. Thank you. All right, awesome, man. Isn't that cool? All right, I got 484. I think this is my buddy Devontae, if he's still awake and alive. 484-745, Devontae, are you there? Give him a minute if that's him. And see what's happening over here. Okay. Give me a minute here. Okay. All right. I guess Devontae is either asleep or something. Okay. We'll come back to that here in a little bit. All right. I had two people with their hand up. So if you want to pray tonight, get that hand up there. And let's pray over you tonight. See what's happening with you. Maybe you had something to share you'd like to share with us. And let us know what's going on with you. All right, get that hand up. And Devontae is, I guess, I think it is Devontae. He is temporarily out of order or missing, or he'll be back in a little bit, maybe. All right, get the hand up there. All right, let's go here. All right, 863-808. Who am I talking to you from? This is Cheryl.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, all right. All right, so we found somebody who is awake and waking up.
Yeah.
All right.
Waking up.
That's what we're doing. We're waking up. Okay.
Yeah.
Devontae said he just woke up, so hang on a second. I'll be right back. Sorry about that. Devontae just texted me and said he woke up. All right. All right, you alive, man?
Yeah. Thank you. I missed my start tonight.
That's okay. Some people fall asleep, man. We have it happen all the time, so. People listen to the show, and they, you know, if we talk for a long time, they relax and they go to sleep. All right, man, what is going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Yesterday, you helped me get rid of that demon. You delivered me. I don't know, is that the word to use? Is that the right word to use in that situation, in that scenario?
You know, yeah, you can use a lot of different kind of words. Yeah, that word works. Just whatever you like. In other words, God, you know, last night when I was praying for you, and all of a sudden I started getting like a really pretty good headache, you know, in the front of my eyebrows there. I figured that it was something happening with you, so I just started rebuking it. And sometimes it can be something with the brain. Sometimes anxiety gets in the brain. We have to release all that energy. Sometimes it's a devil. Sometimes it can be a spirit, you know, oppressing you. I mean, we all have demons messing with us, you know. Everybody, if the devil's not messing with somebody, that means, you know, they're not doing much. So that's the devil's
job. The Bible.
He's after all of us. Go ahead. Yeah.
I read in the Bible, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not getting attacked because you're a bastard. And God's terms is like he reproofs. Is that the word? You know, he chastises the children he loves.
Uh-huh.
If you're not getting chastised anymore, it's because God's cut you off, basically. And he doesn't deal with you. We can get forgiven
and
come back to you, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah.
When he's not teaching, I guess it would be, it's because, and his word he uses is because you're a bastard. Because you have no father.
Well,
like,
right. Well, we have a. You can be a born again child of God and fall away. It doesn't mean that you're a bastard or illegitimate child. I mean, if you're born again, then you're born again. But the problem that happens with born again people is that they make mistakes and they fail. You know, we see it all through the Word of God. People, you know, make mistakes. They fail. They have to learn new things. And so, but, you know, illegitimate, a bastard, means that you don't have a father. So that means that, you know, either Satan's your father, you know, you can be the nicest person in the world and Satan can still be your father if you're not born again. Born again people are people who have God as their father. Now, it doesn't mean they're obeying him. But it also doesn't mean that they're an illegitimate bastard, because that means you don't have a father. And so we have a father. We've been born again. But like Jesus told some of the Pharisees, because they weren't born again and they were religious, he told them, he said, your father's the devil, you know. And so even though they were very religious and into God's law, they were, you know, they weren't really righteous people. They were, yeah. So that's really where that comes from. But if you're born again, you're not an illegitimate bastard. That means you don't have a father. So I just wanted to make sure I got that right. But you can be doing things that your father's not telling you to do, but it still doesn't mean he's not your father, because he's still convicting you. Your father's still right. Even when we fall, he's still there to correct us. If he's correcting you, that means you're not an illegitimate bastard, right? Because your father's taking care of you. Your father is rebuking you. That means you're not illegitimate. That just means that you're maybe acting like you're illegitimate, right, or whatever, but you're really not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, we act like illegitimate sometimes because that's what the enemy tells us. Oh, you're just an illegitimate. You're not really born again. You're not really saying. You don't really love God. And so, so he lies to us and tries to separate us out in our minds from God. But if our spirit man is born again, you're born again. I mean, that's it. Once your spirit man is born again, you know, your God is your father. You may be a disobedient child acting like an illegitimate. I've done a little bit of that, not much. I've been pretty blessed by God, although I've made plenty of mistakes. But yeah, so there you go. So I think what happened with you, you know, when people who love God, they fall away for whatever reason. You know, the enemy tries to take full advantage of it. He tries to take a hold of them and tries to keep them from getting back. Condemnation, lies. You know, you're not even born again. You're not, you know, you're not saved. You're not this. You're not that. He tries to tell them all kinds of things, you know. And if they really are born again, then, you know, he tries to get on them and just, you know, suck the life out of their mind, telling them you're not born again. You don't have a daddy. You know, you're not God's child. You know, that's the big lie. If you are born again, you know, but so that demon, those demons come and try to harass us and lie to us and tell us, you know, you're worthless. Look at you. Look what you did. Look what you're doing. You're a big hypocrite. And so sometimes we have to cast those spirits of condemnation off of people. And so something like that happened. I think it's kind of what happened with you.
Yep. Yeah, basically, since yesterday, I've been being attacked by a demon. And I was attacked by a demon for 4 years. So I have got some praises and great gratitude from you, for you.
Hello? Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but yeah. Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Are you talking to me by speakerphone, or are you talking to me by, how are you talking to me?
I was talking on speakerphone.
Okay, that makes it hard for me to hear.
I have a lot of praises and gratitude for you from yesterday, that's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. What God does, he uses us to give information, and information, if it's anointed information or from God, it changes people, you know, and the devil can't handle that. He's got to go. He's got to leave. He can't handle, you know, when somebody starts coming back to God, you know, his tactics start getting exposed. And those devils have to get off our mind. They get in our minds, and they oppress us, and they lie to us, and trying to convince us. The whole thing of the enemy is he tries to convince us with lying signs and wonders, telling us all this stuff. Well, you never were this. You never did that. You're not going to be that. You know? And he starts lying to us. And so the big key is with people is, are you born again? That's what my big thing is. Some people have religious experiences, and they don't really get born again. Therefore, they struggle all their life with issues that they shouldn't be struggling with normally if they're truly born again. When you get born again, you get connected to the love of God, the power of God. But it doesn't mean you can't fail, make mistakes. I've failed and made mistakes. I've sinned. I've done things. And, you know, the thing is that when the Holy Spirit's in you, you can't do it for long because it drives you crazy, right? You can't stay out long because the whole time you're miserable because the Holy Spirit's inside you because you're not illegitimate. The Holy Spirit's inside you. Telling you, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. And he's grieved. So if he's grieved, you're going to be grieved. And those devils are sitting there lying. So we have to cast them off. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. Exciting.
Amen.
So how are you feeling today? What's going on? What are your thoughts? You feel like you're still feeling pretty good about what happened last night with you? You feel like that something left you and something did better?
Yeah, left and didn't come back.
Oh, awesome.
I was hearing a voice in my head. It would say it's the prince of the air and everything. Like, and it would torment me like day in and day out for the last 4 years, and it left my body yesterday. So.
Dude, that's amazing. I sent you that. You asked me to send you that link, and I did about 8 o'clock this morning, I think. And
I got it.
Yeah, let me know.
I showed
my
mom.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, you said you got it. So good. Awesome, man. That's really awesome. So, thank you, Lord, for Devante. Anything you want to say? What's on your mind tonight? Just whatever you want to talk about.
No, sir. When I listen to you speak, I have reverence for you. Like, I'm just going to be quiet and learn from you because you have a lot of things you can teach me, and I'm not in a position really for me to, I guess, talk back. But it's not really talking back. But, like, I'm submitted to what you have to say, basically. I respect you that when you talk, I'm just going to listen.
Right. Well, I like to have a conversation. Sometimes we go back and forth. Sometimes we just listen. Sometimes we go back and forth. Depends on what's happening. But, yeah, I appreciate that, man. I love you, brother. You're such a blessing.
Me too.
And, you know, God, you have family around you that are good people. That's a blessing for you right there. You know, and we're trying to teach people how to water people instead of trying to change them all the time. We're always trying to change each other. You know, sometimes we need to plant a seed, give the information, water it, and then let God change people. And, you know, sometimes we try to change people. I've tried to do it many times. God says, what are you doing? I'm the one that gives the increase. I'm the one who changes people, Randy. You just do what I say. Give them the word. Give them the information. Plant the seed. Water it. Water, water, water. And let me do the work. And I'm going like, okay, this sounds like a deal with me. So sometimes we try to change people, Devante, and it's not our job to change people. It's God's job. So he does change. He does use us to help, you know, plant and water. But God's the one who gives the change, the increase. And so ultimately, as God is giving you increase, it's because you've had seeds planted there by your mom, by other people, by me, by people, and we've watered you and blessed and tried to be a blessing for you and to you in the name of the Lord. And because of that, you know what? It's going to be easy to get through some things. Some things are going to be easy. You're going to like, bum, 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 gone, 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 gone. You know, some things maybe the changing of your mind. You know, God wants to change your mind, and like he does mine. He changes my mind on a lot of things all the time. So things I believed for years. He said, he set me down, you know, spiritually speaking, sets me down and talks to me, takes me by the hand. He said, Randy, you know, that's not really right what you've been talking to people about. I want to show you the truth. So we have to be willing to change, you know, when God talks to us, especially if you're a leader and you're helping people, you need to be able to let God change you. And so you can, because we're going to be held accountable for the information we give people. You know, the Bible says don't be many teachers, because the teacher are going to receive greater condemnation if they teach wrong things. Greater condemnation if we teach wrong things. So we got to make sure we teach the right things. So I'm trying to learn to listen to God and give the information he gives me, even if it means saying I was wrong about something. You know, sometimes I've had to do that. I've had to do that a few times. You know, God says, you're not teaching that right. I want you to say it, do it like this. And I'm going like, wow. And when he shows you, dude, you're convinced, man. You're convinced. It's like, wow. You don't even mind saying you're wrong, because it doesn't even matter anymore. You know, once you see the truth, it's easy to admit the thing you weren't, you know, perfect on or whatever. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Amen.
So
my mom wanted to talk to you when I was done. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying my mom wanted to talk to
you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. So you have your little group you're part of, or is that like, what is that? Facebook? What is that group you're part of? Is that like, what outlet is that? If you can say.
Oh, I have a group chat with people I have my Bible study with. That's about it though.
Okay, great, yeah. But, I mean, you have – I'm just saying that you have that. That's great. You need that. Yeah, you need to – yeah, all that stuff is really good. So anytime God brings us, you know, friends and things to – even if we don't agree with everybody, it's always good to, you know, communicate and fellowship with the brethren and learn to love people when they're wrong. You know, there's some people that I hang around that You know, I've hung around some certain religious groups of people that are Christian people, but they're different. They believe some major things differently than I do. You know what? Even though I totally disagree with them on some major issues, we all believe in Jesus as Savior, right? But well, I disagree with them wholeheartedly on some things. You know what? I learned to just, you know, you learn to drop a lot of stuff and just love people because they truly are born again. They love Jesus. So even if I don't agree with everything that they're saying, you know, I love the way they talk about Jesus, you know, because they love him.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I love that stuff, even though I totally disagree with some of their stuff, you know. And I'll tell them, and they tell me their stuff, but we walk away understanding, you know, hey, we disagree, but we know Jesus, so. Yeah, and so we have to do that with when you listen to the chat thing. Sometimes you may hear something you don't agree with. They could be right. They could be wrong. It gives us a reason to research things and look things up and say, you know, and let God start guiding you through Scripture. You know, Devontae, he wants to, you know, when you see something you don't agree with, they may be right, they may be wrong. But let's try to find out. So what I do is I start saying, God, are they right or are they wrong? You know, and if they're wrong, if I find out they're wrong, I don't treat them like they're wrong. I may tell them that this is the new thing, this is what God's showing me, but I still their friend, you know. And but I let my differences of opinions with things, with people, and whatever it is, take me to God and say, God, what do you say about this? Show me in the Word. You know, and I think that's what God's going to start doing with you little by little and teaching you through things that you disagree with people. You know, nothing wrong with that. And say, you know, that's not what it is. And he'll show you something. Because you said, God, is that right or is that wrong? I don't know if I agree with that or not. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not strife. That's not rebellion. That's saying, God, I'm your son. You're my father. You know, can you show me that or not? And so he starts showing you things. Then you start getting all this information from God. Dude, and it's amazing. You become stronger and stronger and stronger because, you know, you're asking questions. Asking questions isn't doubt. Sometimes God tells me something, brother, and I'm just like going, I don't know, God. I believe, but help my unbelief. That's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't go, oh, that's stupid. You know, he just goes, you know, okay, you believe, but you help your unbelief. Okay, I'm going to help your unbelief. We'd be honest with God and say, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's some things I believe, you know, that come out of my own mouth, brother, prophetic words. About, you know, the nation and about this and that. But sometimes I'm going like, I believe that, Lord, but help my unbelief. I mean, you know, is this really going to happen? So, you know, I have to be honest with God when I do have questions because that's how I learn.
Okay. But I'm getting a share.
Right.
I'm really cold.
You what now?
I said, my bad. I'm getting a share. I'm really cold. Yeah, it's
okay.
Cold in the room because I have the window open and the fan on. So I'm just putting a shirt on.
Yeah. At least it's not hot anymore, huh? That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with questioning things, man. The devil says, oh, don't question. You know, don't question. Religious people say, don't question anything God says. Well, that's what he wants us to do. Sometimes he tells us things to get us to question him. Like, you know, the disciples all the time, when he would share a parable, they would say, what did you mean by that, Lord? And he goes, well, okay, let me share with you more details. Since you guys didn't get it out there when I was sharing it with the multitudes, they would pull him aside and they say, Lord, what do you mean by the sower who sowed the seed? Explain it to us so we can understand it. You know, some people had too much pride to admit that they really don't know what it means for them. You know, so we have to humble ourselves, be honest, and say, God, you know, I really don't understand that. We think we got to know everything. And really, we don't know any. Paul the Apostle said himself, as I talked to the ladies earlier, that he says, sometimes I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to pray. I have to ask the Holy Spirit has to help me because some things I really don't know how to pray. And we you know, if we say that, most religious people say, oh, you're just a doubter, man. You're just a doubter. Instead of giving us the right to go to God and say, God, you know, I love you. I know you were, but I don't know if I believe that or not. Can you make that clear to me? You know? And he does. So it's really cool,
okay.
Man. So ask a lot of questions and don't be afraid to don't be afraid to question. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what to say. I'm just listening.
Yeah. Ask a lot of questions. The Bible says you receive not because you ask not. Some people are afraid to ask. you know, God, I really don't know what that means. What is that? I know what it means for so-and-so because he says he knows what it means for him, but what does it mean for me? You know, how's that going to work in my life? And it doesn't mean you're doubting God's word. It means how is it going to apply to me? How does that scripture apply to Devontae or to Randy? You know, show me how it applies to me. And so Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, because he asked him, who am I? You know, you think, why would Jesus ask Peter who he knows who he is? He already knows he's the Messiah. But he only knew it in his head. And then all of a sudden, he said, when he answered Jesus, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus heard something different then. He went, okay, that wasn't from man. My Father just showed you that. So there's a big difference, Devontae, between us learning something from people and maybe really true good things and getting it from God for ourselves. So God wants us to be like Peter and say, God, you know, I don't understand that. I don't even know if I believe that or not. Would you please show me? You know, show me that it's true. Show me that it's real for me. And all of a sudden Jesus went, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And Jesus went, boom, man, that guy's getting it. Because he wasn't afraid to ask. He wasn't afraid to question. So, but a religious spirit will say, oh, don't be doubting God. You're not doubting God. You just want to know, you know, what does that mean for me? So it's all good, man. Don't let people tell you there's anything wrong with questioning God and getting him to answer your questions. He loves to answer questions. He loves, just like I love it when people ask me questions. He loves it when we ask him questions. He doesn't go, oh, man, I told you 30 times already. How many times are you going to tell you? How about one more time, Lord? He goes, okay, so now that you asked, because he loves it. He loves it when we ask him. He loves it when we're honest with him, when we say we don't know, and if we're not sure we believe that. It's in the Bible. Are they telling it right, or do I need to get, or is there something else that means? Please show me. And little by little, he'll start showing you, man. Pretty soon you're going to be teaching people things that God has shown you, not something I've taught you or your mom or some preacher or your group. You know, you're going to be teaching people things. You're going to be sharing things with people that you have gotten. They're going to go, man, it sounds like you heard from God. Yeah. He explained that to me. It's going to be awesome, man.
Amen.
Yep. All right, my brother. I got another caller calling in. Anything you want to ask or any questions or anything you want to say?
No, I want to know if you're still in talk to my mom.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, sorry. Yes.
Mom. Mm-hmm. Hi, friend.
Shalom.
Hey. What are you doing? What are y'all doing over there? It sounds like it's cooled off a little bit over there.
Yeah, hold on. Let me. I also called in. Oh, Prophet Randy, we're over here rejoicing. We're so thankful and amazed of God and what he's doing. So I'm just so thankful and grateful over here.
Oh, you're talking about with Devontae? Is that what you mean?
Yes, because that's a big deal
okay.
over
yeah.
here.
Oh, well,
because,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because we've been praying for years, you know, so we're just like amazed at God's kindness and his goodness, and we're just over here rejoicing.
That is awesome, girl. That is absolutely amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. That is beautiful. God just, you know, I started singing to you. How many times I sang to people over the, not very many times, but. I used to have a friend of mine who used to call me, you know, a grown man, and I loved Jesus with all his heart. We was going through some depression, and he would call me like during the day, and I'd get on the phone, and he wouldn't say anything. He would just listen. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this? I can't sit there and talk. He said, I want you to sing to him. So I would sing song, and I'm thinking he probably thinks I'm crazy. I just started singing songs to him. You know, because, you know, he was so depressed. He was so having such a hard time. A fear and panic was hitting him. He was having a fear and panic thing going on. And loved Jesus with all his heart, but he had fear and panic on him, big time. So he would call me up because he knew that I didn't care that he was having problems. He knew that I loved him, you know. And so he called me up, and he said, "Hey, Randy, it's me." And I knew exactly who it was. I went, "Oh, hey, man." And so I said, "Lord, what do I do?" He said, just sing over him. And so when Devontae came on, that's what the Lord said. "I want you to just, you know, sing a little song, sing. I'm going, "Okay." You know, it reminded me of that guy. And so, you know, he's now come a long ways, you know, to the help of his family and just different things. My friend, I'm talking about this guy that I know, this grown man guy, like I think he's 60 years old, 55, 60, something like that. And he's a grown man, right? And having those things going on. And he knew that, you know, I loved him, and he called. And so God did some really great, cool things. Nothing like overnight or anything, but it's amazing. So when Devontae said he was having some breakthroughs, girl, I wanted to weep over that. That was beautiful.
Yeah. If you even knew, he told you a little bit of it, but I'll go, you know, over the years, it's just a long story, but he told you a little bit of it, but I believe, it'll come out more and more, you know, that he can share. So
okay.
I'm just, amazed. And my mom's so happy, too. We're over here rejoicing, you know, because we've seen the goodness of God. And I always said, it's God, you know, it's going to be God's power, the one who's going to be able to set Devontae free. And this last time I just was contending, it was more of okay, it's in God's timing. And I've been praying for years, so this last time around with the spiritual realm, there was a lot of supernatural activity happening, poltergeist, all kinds of craziness happening. And I just came to a conclusion that the devil is a liar and he's a defeated foe. So I just kept contending for Devontae's freedom, rejoicing and thanking God even before we saw the manifestation of his goodness and freedom. Because throughout the years, Prophet Randy,
that's great.
Yeah, he always showed himself faithful and trustworthy. So I had to just stand on that. Because, you know, Devontae is a grown man, so there was free will involved. And also the genetic generational things happening, not only on our side, my side, but his other side, which, you know, is biological father side. Then the time that we spoke about, when Devontae was in utero. So those traumas and things that I had spoken to you about. And then I tried to talk to Devontae about it as well, the best of my ability.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing, yeah.
Yeah, because I have spoken to him throughout the years. But it's all timing, you know? And some of my prayer would be about, you know, Father, bring him to the end of himself, you know, like the prodigal. Also, the promises, I would stand on the promises of God, and I had promises, and I had words. So I had to, also be quiet, too, because I noticed that even within my family, that sometimes it was easier to speak on the negative and what the enemy was doing. So what I stopped doing was I stopped talking. I just was giving praise and thanksgiving to God. I would sometimes get angry, at the speaking of the negative report.
Right.
And so I would, yeah, I would get angry. I would get, grieve too. Like grieve. Like, why are we talking about what the enemy's doing and not speaking about God's promise, you know? And I would be like, well, I know what God told me. And I had to like literally contend. Yeah, I had to contend and not even say anything and just speak in faith and just contend. So it was basically God's timing too. It's just amazing how our Father, it's His timing, and I don't know. Like I think he was working on me, of course, too. Like I had to like stand in faith.
Yeah.
And, like, just be quiet and not speak of just what the enemy was doing, but stand on the promises of God. And when I would have my battles, like faith battles, you know, like when the enemy comes in to bring doubt or just, or not even so much doubt, but just like when the enemy is showing his self, you know, and I had to, like, always just go back to God and to the Word and the promises of God. And, like, I have seen the supernatural operating on both sides, like God's power and goodness and greatness, and then also seeing the enemy show his ugly self. And I would be like, nah, you can't have my son, you know? Like, and I would plead the blood of, the Lamb. And applying the atoning sacrifice to the bloodline, you know, and go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm getting stuff off what you're saying, so I don't want to interrupt you, but I love this because what you're saying about talking about what the enemy's doing, because when we're talking about watering, right? That's one thing God's doing. So what are you doing when we're talking about what the enemy's doing? We're watering the wrong thing. Right? I mean, I never thought about that before. We got the seed's been planted. It's obviously the problem is there. And so we just keep watering it, you know, like you said. And I've done my share of it. We've all done our share of it. We're watering that thing instead of watering, you know, we water the tree and then we water the wrong. We water the good tree and then we water the bad tree. Right? So I never thought about that until you said that. It's like there's a watering in reverse, watering the wrong thing. Watering the weeds.
Yeah.
However you say it.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
And I received a word from you as well about watering. So
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes, so it was like learning. For me, it was like learning to stand in faith no matter what, because it was getting crazy. When you have poltergeist activities going on, it's way worse than just, you know, when you're dealing with a person and their free will.
Yeah.
You're dealing with spiritual realm, spiritual recognition, high places, territorial stuff going on. But it's training, you know, and like,
wow.
I was like, okay, when things would go down, I would have to look at me a lot of times. Like you said, like you were saying earlier, you can't change people. We don't operate the way the enemy operates, where he comes against people's free will choice, you know, like through addiction and bondage and oppression. And like with us, children of the Most High, you know, Most High God, our Father gives us free will. And so it was having to learn how to like balance that out. Like we don't pray witchcraft prayers. We don't go against people's free will and tell God what to do. Fear. And, you know, we're not in faith. We're in that place of fear, worry, anxiety, stress, right? And so when we're operating in that realm and we don't even realize it, we're not in that place of faith. So it's that's where the enemy tries to play the games against us as intercessors when we're like emotionally involved or, you know, dealing with so much warfare, you know, like where you get weary And so,
especially
yeah,
with your
that's
family.
That. Yeah, so that's where I know that God was working on me per se, like standing on his promises and not, even when I would like waver in my faith, I'd have to like regroup. Like I have to catch myself, you know, and be like, oh no. So I had to be careful who I spoke to. Like back in the day, I would, you know, always operate in that fear rather than faith because, oh, my son, he's delivered. Da, 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 da. You know, and you're like praying and praying. And I remember God gave me a promise that's like Jeremiah. I think if you can look it up if you want to, Prophet Randy. I think it's Jeremiah maybe 31. 15 through 17. It might be, that might be his, the one that I'm looking at. But basically it's telling, the father's saying, stop your eyes from crying. I will bring back your children from the land of the enemy. But I remember like crying out God, and he had already given me that promise. And I was like, I had like this pit in my stomach. This wasn't even recently. This was a while ago.
Yeah.
And
a while back, yeah.
I was like, God, I need a word. I need a word, right? And I was crying out to him because I had that sick feeling in my stomach. And then, you know, I took the Bible and I was holding it up to him. And I kind of like threw it down. And it opened up to the same exact scripture that he already gave me. And I started cracking up. And I was like, God, I'm so, like, it just like he was.
Yeah.
He was telling me, like, I already gave you a promise, my daughter. And so when I opened the Bible exactly to that same scripture that he already gave me, it just caused me to, like, start laughing at how God is so patient with us and how, like, he's not worried, you know? Like, he's not worried. And I remember my mom was telling me this bad story concerning Devontae, and I started cracking up. Prophet Randy, I started cracking up like it was not normal. And my mom's like, you don't have medicine for people like that. Because there was like a commercial that you could be. Yeah, I know. I fell off the chair. I literally fell off the chair. I was cracking up so hard. And she's like, yeah, they have medicine for people like that. Because commercial about like when you have uncontrollable laughter or uncontrollable crying. And I did have that, you know, I'd be cracking up and my mom was like, So when she was saying that, she was like, oh, they have medicine for people like that. It made me laugh so hard. And it wasn't even normal because it was, you know, kind of like a bad move. But I was like, God, why was I laughing like that? And the scriptures that I got was, because then I was like, oh my God, do I need that medicine? You know?
Yeah.
But, But,
give me some meds, man.
Yeah. But the Lord showed me the verse. He gave me two verses, you know, that he sits on the throne and laughs in derision at the enemy. So that was the one verse he gave. And then the second verse he gave me was laughter is good, laughter is good medicine. So I guess he was using laughter. Father was using holy laughter so that my heart wasn't getting entwined with those bad words that it was the report of the enemy, you know. And my mom was like just being in that place of factual, you know, like when you're in a place the father taught that facts change, you know, like we can't go by facts because his truth remains the same. And facts change. So Devontae ended up writing a rap song. He got a download from the Lord from that telling him about facts changing. And we can't go by fact to go by the truth because the truth of God trumps the facts of what's going on temporary or, you know, what we call reality, Prophet Randy. So, like, having to balance all that within the family and contend for, you know, as an intercessor, for your own child was a training that, you know, God took me through. So, and it was it was years, Prophet Randy, off and on. You know, like, it's just a long story, but it was years contending off and on, you know, for my son's
yeah.
freedom. So I'm thankful now that he, it's not mom, you know, telling him da-da-da-da, preaching, lecturing, all that. It's, he had to have the personal experience.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's what's
awesome.
going on around here, Prophet Randy. So you've been
I know last night when we were praying for him, was it last night? Yeah. I should tell you, Susie, yeah, Monday. And we were praying for him, you know, and then all of a sudden I got that headache hit me pretty hard. I'm going like, man, that's some stuff. And so when we started praying and pleading the blood and singing over him, you know, when he said that something had happened to him, I could tell by the way his voice changed. His voice completely changed. You know, he went from that, you know, kind of a groaning talk. I don't know how to explain it exactly. You know, trying to struggle to all of a sudden he just his voice changed. You know, the way he was talking, he was clearer.
Hallelujah.
And I went, yeah, it looked like something really happened. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it was really awesome. I'm glad that you guys called in tonight. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, Devontae, for calling in and confirming, you know, that that's a beautiful thing God did for you and your mom, you know, and everybody else praying for you and, what, you know, other people have given you information and prayer on PGN. Like, I know Terrence and Tanisha, and I'm sure Deborah and you know, everybody, Jeannie, LaShawn, everybody's been praying, yeah.
Hallelujah. The whole
Carmen. Yeah,
TV
Carmen.
Familia.
Yeah,
and yet
exactly.
Terrence and Tanisha. Tanisha got us a word specifically a few months back because this is, I'll tell you more as the time goes on, but this has been a crazy battle with Devontae. But anyway, so I've been calling, you know, I've been calling in to you guys, Prophet Randy, to you specifically, like, from January 2014. So we've been throughout the years, you know, praying off and on for Devontae. But just this year of 2023,
yeah.
With Terrence and Tanisha praying, and then Tanisha got a word a while back when Devontae was in a serious crisis a few months ago, and she was talking about the cement. She saw the cement. But she didn't even know what was going on. I never got into it, you know. I would just pray and take it in and stand on the promises. But
right.
Pat called in, and he had talked to Sister Carmen, and she had gotten the same thing about the cement. So she didn't know. She didn't know that Tanisha said the same thing, similar thing, months ago. She didn't know that, you know.
Wow.
What I'm saying? So
wow, yeah,
it was like
awesome.
The knowledge and
yeah,
the Father knows, Heavenly Father knows that I knew. So it's like all those different encouragements throughout the month, the words of knowledge and just standing in faith and having different people pray, you know. And I know that they
yeah.
are stand up solid people. They, you know, you guys were helping me in that throughout the month. So I'm just so thankful.
That's awesome.
For PGN and the PGN familia. Yeah, I mean, it is
yeah.
amazing.
And those,
just seeing
and those of you that are, those of you that are listening tonight, maybe for the first time, we have a crew. Angela Joy does has been doing Sundays. Sometimes Felicia comes on Sundays, mostly Angela Joy. We have Carmen on Saturday night. LaShawn comes on Fridays. And then Wednesdays is Terrence and Tanisha. Tuesdays is Deborah. And then on Mondays we have Jeannie. And so that's what they're there for. They're there. They're serving God. They're not getting paid. They're not getting a salary, to be honest. They're doing it for God. I mean, they're there doing it because God's called them to be there. And that's why they're there. So if you're listening tonight and you think it's just about the show tonight, it is not. It is. It's about all of our hosts. And if God leads you, if you want to get on our alert system where we alert you when somebody's on, we never ask you for anything. all we're going to do, we'll just tell you who's on, what's on, and that's it. So if you'd like that, text me at 214-505-8719, and I'll put you on the alert there on the text, a group text, if you want that. And, you know, so let the Lord lead you. But that number, again, is 214-505-8719. And we'd love to get you in contact with all of our hosts, with our whole PGN network that will love you. And like we've been praying for Devontae, like his own mother has said, Lisa from Pennsylvania, have, you know, been talking about, and how all the hosts have been a part of all this, you know, or most of them. Depends on what's going on with every person. Everybody has a little bit different anointing on, but yeah, it's been really cool. So call in, and we're here Monday. Two shows on Monday, two shows on Tuesday, two shows on Wednesday, and then one show with LaShawn on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with Carmen and Angela Joy and the son Felicia. So get in there and get some, man. We'll love you and pray for you and believe God with you. So thank God, man. This is so awesome. And like you said, I really what I got out of your conversation tonight was what you were saying God corrected you on and helped you with was watering. I didn't use the word water, but that's really what I was seeing it as what we're watering the wrong things when we say all that stuff and talk about it constantly. You know, we're like, yeah, so, wow, what a good word.
Lisa, hallelujah. Awesome. And how the Lord will use PGN. He meets you where you're at. Throughout the years, all the different hosts throughout the years, when I was struggling, because, you know, it takes a toll on you over the years when you're dealing with stuff. But the Lord uses it. The Holy Spirit trained me in spiritual warfare. And now, like Prophet Randy, you're saying is, I guess, the watering, because you did use that word. So now
yeah.
I understand a
yeah.
little bit more how the Father was working on me, too. Like, I had to be quiet.
Sure.
I had to stay in the Word, just speak the Word of God, stand on the promises, and war. Like, when I was distraught as a mother, when things were getting crazy, I would take that to my Heavenly Father rather than go to people. I used to go to people all the time. But this time around,
yeah.
I would go to the Father and pour out my heart, like my grief. But I would stand on the Word of God, too. Like, I remember,
yeah.
I'd be like, wait a second. God, I would be like, God, the enemy is not that powerful. Like, I would have to, like, analyze within myself, you know, like,
yeah.
the enemy is not that powerful. Like, God, you're more powerful.
If we keep watering the tree, then it's like it's getting more powerful because we're watering the tree. Man, I'm really getting off on that. That's not. Also, I want to say this too before you go on. Carmen texted me and said, "I did not know that prophecy Tanisha had prayed for Devontae. That's what I saw him breaking cement with a large tool, then breaking ground." She just said that. Sent that text. I wanted you to know. She said she saw me a picture of this. You know, like a thing you dig, you know, yeah, like some heavy duty digging. She's a little tool right there. She sent me a picture of it. Yeah, she said she saw that. I just wanted
yes,
to let
you
know.
Didn't know.
Yeah, no, she
I
didn't
knew
know.
She
yeah.
didn't know. And so God
yeah.
was using her because God knew he was going to remind me. And you know what I'm saying? Like, God was using her as like a confirmation as well.
Yeah.
It was compounding. Like, it was, you know what I'm saying by that, Prophet Randy? Like, it was
yeah.
a compounded word, like a word
yeah.
of the Lord. So that
right.
was amazing. Because I knew she didn't know because I don't even remember when Tanisha
yeah.
said that. But it was this year of 2023, but it was a few months back. And it
right.
was after
yeah.
an accident. So it was
oh,
crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
That. So I'm so thankful. Yeah, I knew that she didn't know. Thank you, Sister Carmen,
yeah.
because I knew that
yeah.
that was the word of the Lord, you know, and it gives us hope because we remember
mm-hmm.
What the Lord has spoken to us And then he speaks to us again from another brother or sister, but it just compounds the word that he already gave. And it gives more insight. And just, you know, it's just amazing how God works. So I'm so thankful. I just love our PTN familia. I feel so grateful. I feel so privileged.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And Carmen's saying, praise God, and she's listening to this. Thank God, because we all need to be built up and lifted up in our ministries. You know, that's why we have people on here 7 nights a week, because I couldn't do it. And even if I could do it, I wouldn't be able to reach people, you know, the way everybody else does. Everybody doing their part, you know, is so important, because even though sometimes we work, we go, it seems like we got nothing going on. Then all of a sudden, boom. Devontae comes up, and look what God did with Devontae, and it was so easy. Really, it was easy. It wasn't like we weren't hollering and screaming. We were just like, you know, God just manifested it because of everybody's prayers and the prophecies that went forth, and all of a sudden it just manifested, and I felt it. I felt this thing in my head, like a headache in my eyebrow area, and I'm going, man, that's not God, you know. And I thought it was Devontae, but I wasn't sure, and so when I began to pray, and he said, you know, something's happening, Brother Randy. And so I went, oh, my gosh. You know, it was just amazing. And I was just so thankful, you know, because what happened is everybody who's ministered and prayed for you guys and for Devontae have prepared a way. And when that way finally came, it was like, boom, boom, done. You know, as far as we know, the job's not finished with any of us yet. But as far as the way that it happened, man, that was, you know, it was really kind of easy as far as, you know, when it finally came, like you said, the timing finally came, then it became really easy. It was like, wow, boom, and the job was done.
It's like what you said, Prophet Randy, about God meeting his faith, meeting him where he was at, like honoring the faith, because you had said that, and I believe that that was a key, because, you know, he was, as a grown man, seeking on behalf of himself, like seeking for himself, you know?
Right.
And then also with the intercessory realm, Prophet Randy, with you receiving that, it was like almost a physical word of knowledge, you know? So that happens to me. So that way I will know just to walk in faith when I get those, I guess they're called identification pains or whatever. I don't know. What do you call it?
Mm-hmm. Word of knowledge. I call it word of knowledge. Word of knowledge manifests. It will manifest in your body. Yeah. Sometimes you'll feel my pinky finger will hurt, and I'll say, if it's enough where I know it's not me, you know, I go, you know, I get a word of knowledge, somebody's little pinky finger, and I can describe right where it's at, because you feel it exactly where it's happening. And I call that a word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, where you're picking up something. Sometimes it can just be information. You'll just get information. Sometimes you'll feel it in your body. Sometimes you'll have thoughts going through your head. And if you're not careful, you'll say those thoughts thinking that they're your thoughts. But really what they are, they're the person's thoughts that you're talking to. And God's trying to show you what they're thinking so he can help them.
Yeah. So you were able to have the discernment and the guidance from the Holy Spirit to know that that's what he was dealing with. And it's just amazing because I've been praying about this too, because when Devontae was little, two things happened. I told you that he was hit by a car. That's a traumatic brain injury, a TBI. And then what happened was his pituitary gland didn't kick in. Like when you go through puberty, your pituitary gland is the one that is operating. Well, with Devontae, it was like it wasn't steroids, human growth hormone, to kick in for puberty. So all that messed him up, and then head meds over the years, you know. And I was praying, like, God, every side effect from psychiatric medication, from the steroids, from the human growth hormones, from the marijuana, from the legal drugs, but that were taken. Like, for instance, he told you that he was struggling with Percocet. All those things have an effect on our brain chemistry. So I was praying that, Father. I would always say, like, when Devontae would tell me something was going on, or just myself would find out stuff, you know, when it comes to the brain chemistry and any, any, like, imbalance, I would say, imbalance. Mm-hmm. I would just pray, like, okay, Father. I would be like, well, God will heal you from that. Like, and I believe that, you know, like, God is not going to just, he has to take care of our brain problems when we're struggling. Like, I will pray for people who have addiction, right? Well, it actually messes with your brain chemistry. So I would have the faith to believe that the Father is going to heal even the brain chemistry. Because if that has been affected by, you know, by the enemy or by iniquities or our own, you know, personal sin, right? The Lord can fix that with the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, you know? So anyway, I've been praying about that and believing about that for not only my son Devontae, but for other people I pray for, but to see when God did it through the singing, and it's Zephaniah 3:17 that I always think about when the Lord sings over us. And I realize how powerful it is because, you know, I sing as well. And I'm also prompted by the Holy Spirit to sing as well. I'll sing in tongues or in English, you know. And I just love the way the Father does whatever he wants outside of the box by the leading, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And he just happened to have you be reminded over the past when you used to be used of the Holy Spirit over your friend, over your banking buddy. So God, you know, and then also Prophet Randy, I look at things so, what's the word? I don't know what the word is. I look at things, I guess, differently, but that's not the word I'm looking for. But look, I'll just say it like this, and then you give me the word. Somebody will give us the word. Devontae has been given prophecies. In fact, you were one of them the first time I called in 2014. I called in a couple of times that week, and you had spoken to Devontae and gave a word of prophecy over him and throughout the years about the Lord using him in the finance realm and him being called into a place of wealth. So when you're praying over your when you were talking about praying over your banking buddy, I'm just thinking, like, God, that was another, like, a little God wink for me anyway, that how God talks to me, you know, because even that coincidence of you singing over your banking buddies in the past and then also singing over Devontae, I was looking at that as another God wink from, you know, from the Father about Devontae's mantle that the Lord will use him for when it's timing. Because I believe everything in timing, too. Now it's time for Devontae to go through discipleship and, you know, the sanctification process along with this with this deliverance and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, timing is just like saying, you know, in some ways it's like saying, you know, when's this tree going to bear fruit? Well, it's not mature enough yet to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit later. It's still an apple tree, but it's just growing, and it kind of, like, you know, it's just little and it's young, you know, and it's getting branches and all that. And it's not got too many branches, but a few little branches. So how many more, you know, we call a tree guy. We go, man, this tree I bought is awesome, but it's not bearing any apples. Yeah, because it's too young to bear. It's not the timing, you know, it's going to take some time. It's going to have to grow. And when it grows, you know, maybe next year it might have, you know, some blossoms, but it never really produce any apples. But pretty soon, the next year after that, it's going to produce, and then you get 5 apples, and then the next year after that, you get, you know, 40, and then the next year after that, you get 400, and you know what I mean? It just kind of, so timing is kind of looked at like that. It's like, and water, plant and water, that's really a powerful, plant
and then water, 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 water for the rest of his life, and water it so that it can grow. Some people's timing slows down. You know why? Because they don't take care of the tree. They forget to water the tree. When I watered the trees out, you know, the pecan tree or whatever that we had and fertilized it, I watched it just go from 1 year to like, barely, you know, got some pecans on there, like, you know. And then the next year I fertilized it, watered it a little bit more, learned more about it, learned how to take care of it better. I mean, the pecans got so big that, the squirrels could hardly carry one off because they were so big. You know, not really, but they were really big. Because what was happening? What was slowing down the timing of that? By me not watering it, you know, I watered a little bit, but I didn't realize I needed to water it. You know, especially in the hot times, hot season, you know, water it the right way. My dad used to teach me about when we'd water the maize would be growing, the corn would be growing, and those leaves would start, you know, shriveling up a little bit. I'm going, Dad, we got to water, man. He says, No. I know it looks like it because the leaves are starting to shrivel up a little bit. But he said, what's happening is, you have to watch it and let the roots, because when you're not watering it on the surface, then the roots start looking for water. That's what their job is. They start looking for water. So you got to let it dry out a little bit, let it kind of look like it's suffering a little bit, and then once the roots start going down a few days, then you water it again, and then you let that happen again and again and again, so it has a good root system. So there's much about watering that people don't realize, you know, that the reason timing gets messed up is because we're not watering it correctly or watering it enough. Or you see what I'm saying? It's not bearing fruit. It could have borne, you know, it could have borne some apples the year before that, but we didn't water it and take care of it. We just thought, it'll take care of itself. It doesn't take care of itself. So it's amazing.
Wow. It's like I'm getting more of a understanding and insight of the watering system, and
me too.
Now when you were talking about
yeah.
it, I was like, okay, yeah. Father, teach me how to water, like to be a water
me
expert.
Me too. Yeah.
And also mm-hmm. the root system, and you know
yeah.
we're in the process of uprooting in our bloodline. So that's I'm
right.
gonna ask the Father. I'm asking him to give me a greater insight on that, on like when you're uprooting, right? You're getting the rock, but you want to grow
right.
healthy root system. Because we are called the oaks of righteousness, right? So
right.
I would like
right.
to learn
yeah.
to be an arborist. Wait, how do you call it, Prophet Randy, those people who do the trees? Is it arbor?
I don't know.
Arborist?
I don't know. I can't think of it right now either. Yeah.
So I'm thankful.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Learning about trees is amazing. And then it comes to pruning trees. And because you got the guy down the street who's producing, we planted our trees at the same time, right? You watering them just right. But we're watering it just like he's watering his. But guess what? He started pruning his. We're kind of thinking, we don't want to prune it yet. But he knew when to prune it. He knew how to deal with it. And pretty soon he's got 500 apples, and we got five sitting over here going, what's the deal? We planted at the same time. So the timing, because he knew how to deal with that tree, you know, feed it what it needed exactly, not just water it, but do other things to it. And then he began to prune it. And when he pruned it, the Bible says that pruning so that we can produce much fruit. So some people produce fruit, but they're not producing much fruit because we don't let God prune us, you know, sometimes. And we're not getting the pruning that we need. And it used to be so hard for me to prune bushes and prune trees because I'm thinking that there's a part of me that's kind of sensitive, you know, like am I really hurting this tree when I cut the I would cut it off, you know, I would get my shears and I'd kind of go ouch, like oh that had to hurt that tree. I don't think it really hurts the tree. I think that it's kind of like trimming your toenails, you know, you trim your toenails, you don't really feel that. So I'm not sure whether the trees feel it or not exactly, but it's not painful. It's not. So we take pruning like it's some really going to be a really painful thing. Sometimes it might be a little painful, but because sometimes chastisement is painful a little bit. But we've made a really big deal out of it, like me thinking, you know, these trees, you know, they're feeling all this pain. And so I don't want to prune them because I don't want them to go through pain. You know, I know people who didn't even trim their dog's toenails. I'm not going to mention any names either. They wouldn't even trim their dog's toenails, honest to God. because you know what? Because they thought they didn't want to hurt him. I'm going like, you're not hurting the dog by trimming his toenails. It doesn't hurt him, you know. And it's like, well, I don't know. And they had the longest, so ugly toenails because they never trimmed their toenails. And you know, anyways, made it hard to walk and the whole thing. I watched this one. Yeah.
Not to get into it too much, but that is a little, I mean, that's distorted perception because it probably hurts the dog more to not cut the toenails.
Yes,
exactly. To cut them.
Yeah, yeah. But that just shows you how that we all can get some idea about, like me pruning the tree. I didn't want to prune the tree because I don't want to hurt the poor little tree. When you cut it off, it's like you think of it as cutting off one of your arms or something. Like you cut off your hand. You know, you cut up your hand at the wrist, and it's going to grow back next year. But the pain you go through is not hardly worth it. So my image of that, I'm just talking about some things I believe. I'm going, man, I don't want to do this because it hurts the tree. And then, so finally, when I got over that, it's like, you know, like the Lord says, it's like trimming your toenails, Randy. It's not really like hurting it, especially if you do it at the right time when the tree is in the season of you know, sleeping or whatever. You know, so just like when they circumcise a boy, that the Bible says they circumcise them on the eighth day. When the medical science in the scientific world looked into that, they found out that God said circumcise your children on the eighth day, not because it's just like, let's just wait 8 days, because the blood flow on the eighth day of a child's birth is completely slowed down. So that when they circumcise them, there's very little bleeding, right? That's why the eighth day. So the scientists figured that one out. So there's a lot of things that we don't understand that we think chastisement is God slapping you around and beating you, like maybe you had a parent who was abusive or something. Yeah. So that's how you think chastisement is like whacking you and slapping you and drawing some blood, you know, or spanking you real hard too much, you know, which happened to my mom when she was a kid. And so it affects people. So learning how to, like you're talking about, learn how to prune people, learn how to water people. It makes a difference on, you got the guy down the street producing 500 apples, got the same tree planted at the same time, same amount of watering, but guess what? He pruned his and knew how to take care of it, and we're down here going like, So timing has a lot to do with, are we watering? Are we watering too much? Are we not watering enough? You know, like I water my trees. It depends on how, now listen to this. This is really cool because it depends on how hot it is outside. If it's really, really hot, then I water my tree, you know, good twice a week. If it's nice and cool out there and it's not really hot, I water it once a week, soak it up real good, and water it once a week. So it's kind of like what we do here on PGN. We have prophecy night once a week. Some people got so much heat going on in their life. They got so much stuff. They need to be watered and they need to be soaked. Other people just need a little light touch of a little bit of water, because their life's not really going through that much heat at the time. But it depends on what somebody's going through. Sometimes I'll find myself, you know, like these ladies tonight we were able to minister to, and other people, I'll find myself just on and on, going on and on. And I want to stop. I'm saying, I need to stop. The Lord says, no, more water, Randy. And I just keep talking and yakking, going, and I say, Lord, this, and Lord says that, and give this scripture and that scripture. And some people get a three-minute word. Some people get a three-hour word, not really 3 hours, but, you know, 30-minute word. Because it's like they're going through a lot of heat. They're, you know, they need more water. Just like my tree, when it's really, really, really hot out there, man, you got to make sure you water it, you know, twice a week. So like here at PGN, kind of as an example, I'm starting to see how God's been guiding us. I didn't plan any of it, but it's just seeing how God guided us. Once a week, we have a week. Every Wednesday, we prophesy to every person. That prophecy could go on for 15 minutes. You never know, because we never know what somebody's going through and how much watering they need at that time in their life. So, you know, so anyway, so that's just kind of a thing that I think we're going to learn about the prophetic, about building up is more like, you know, in another word to say prophecies to build people up, it's to water them, you know. And it's really interesting, man. I'm really getting blessed by all this info. I'm getting excited, so. This is really, really awesome. I'm going to move on to another caller here, but girl, this has been you. Thanks. Guys, all of PGN, and you being the mother, you give birth to your child, and you carry that load in a way that
you know, mothers have to really learn how to deal with their, how they, the language we're using, how to water their child. You plant and you water. You spend more time watering than we do planting. So when they need something, we plant it, and then we water that thing. We water that thing. I'm starting to see this more and more all the time. So you've been doing that for a long time with Devontae, thank God, and Devontae has a heart for God, built in him by God, and that's what makes it so beautiful. Like Peter, when Peter even denied the Lord, man. I mean, he was back, you know, saying, Jesus, you know, and he expected Jesus to condemn him for denying him when he needed him, quote, the most. But no, Jesus didn't even go into that. He said, yeah, he said, I know you learned a big lesson from your denial, Peter. He didn't say it to him, but he knew he learned a lesson from it. He didn't say one word about it. He said, hey, man, you know, like Devontae or Peter or me or you, you know, you're going to feed my sheep. Do you love me? All Jesus is interested in, girl, is do you love me? He's not interested in you messed up, you didn't mess up. It's all one thing, like he told Peter three times. Do you love me, Peter? Peter couldn't get it straight because he's thinking, like, why do you keep saying, do you love me? Isn't there something else that you want to know? Like, am I going to do it right next time? Am I going to be perfect? Am I going to do everything? He says, no, Peter, one thing I need to know. Do you love me? Peter didn't get it. He says, one more time. Hopefully he'll get it the second time. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. And then he gets the third time he asks, he's like thinking, uh-oh, something's up. I must not love him enough. I don't know what's going on. But Jesus said one more time, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? He was watering him. And Peter goes, Lord, you know I love you. You know, that's all he said. He didn't say, you need to do this, you need to do that. He said, Peter, one thing you need to know is I want to know, do you love me? That's all I need. And you love me, everything else is going to work out. All your troubles, all your hypocrisies that you have later on, you know, and you're gonna learn from stuff because you're a Jew and you're sold out on Jew stuff, and you know, and God's changed. I'm changing everything, and you have to learn how to change with, you know, with the way God changed stuff and fulfill the law and understand what fulfillment means. So there's a lot of things he was still going to learn, but because he loved Jesus, he learned them. Paul and him got together and did some good lawyer arguing over that stuff, but you know what? Peter, because he loved Jesus, which is what Jesus, all that Jesus wanted. Man, that's Devontae or you or me. You know, God didn't say, oh, man, that was really stupid. What's wrong with you, you idiot? You know, what's wrong? You know, you didn't really mess up bad. I mean, this time, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. No, he says, hey, do you love me? That's all I want to know. Jesus is a love fanatic, man. He's a love fanatic. He's a love freak, if I can say that. He knows me very well. He's one thing. Yeah,
I love.
Yeah, it's about love, man. Do you love me? That's all. It's interesting. It's like your mama spanking you for something you did, you know, to correct you, so you know that, you know, or chastising you somehow or another, putting you in your room for a couple of days. Yeah, honey, I love you in there. I love you. Okay, mom, I don't love you right now, but I'll love you later. So leave me alone. You know, I'm being grounded. I don't like this. But, you know, if a mother or a father keeps letting that child know, no matter what you do, it's all about love, man. I'm doing this because I love you, and you love me, and we're going to love each other, and I love you, love you, love you. And so, anyway, so I got to move on, but this is awesome. All right, girl.
Pastor Randy,
congratulations for your faith. Go ahead. Yeah.
And I don't think you realize, but I always say it. You bring up over the years, when you're referring to Devontae, you bring up Peter consistently over the years, and his name is Pierre Devontae, and Pierre is Peter.
Oh.
So I just find that to be, I find that to be just so endearing that is his name. And I know at the time when you're mentioning it,
yeah,
every time, I know that you're not realizing at that moment that is his name,
yeah,
as well. So,
wow.
And I just wanted to ask if you can give a quick update on what's going on with Miss Julie. You haven't brought that up in a while.
No updates right now. I appreciate you asking.
Okay.
Thank
all
you
right.
very much. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
love
you. All right. We love you guys.
Thank you.
I love you. We love you too. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you so much. All right. 863 Cheryl, that was quite a little diversion, but we made it back.
We got a diversion, all right. That was awesome. She had me in
tears. Awesome? Oh,
she
cool.
Had me. Because
when
yeah.
when I'm talking, you sleep, and when she talks, you cry. I don't know what's
no,
up with that.
No, no, you
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But the what she was saying about her about God making her say thank you and just rejoicing because I heard you know how he sang those little not hymns but those little songs that we used to sing to learn scripture when in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I woke up at 1:30 in the morning. I totally slept through Blog Talk, everything last night. Went to bed I've been having a rough time, but the Lord reminded me. It was silly little. I think it's silly, but it's not silly. It was like it went something like you guys might have sang it. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He was promised that he'd open all of heaven, and brother, it could be this very day when God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus.
Why don't you sing it, girl?
Well,
sing it. Come on. Are you not awake enough? You're not awake enough to do it?
Right.
I feel like something good is about to happen.
You know it.
Of course I know it. I'm
sing
over
it,
50,
Randy.
You know. I'm over 50. I can't remember all the words, though. Yeah, I'm thinking, why don't you just sing it, man? Okay. You don't have to.
Oh. Anyway.
Well, go ahead and say the rest of it. I interfered with you because I wanted you to sing it, but go ahead.
When
yeah, I love that song.
Souls and call on Jesus. I got to sit up if I'm going to sing it. You start too high, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. and now it's too low. Anyway, you know what?
It's all right. Go for it, man.
God gave me that this morning, and then Lisa's confirming it that she's watering the good. I mean, what sort of things are good, honest, pure? If there any virtue, any praise, any good report, think on these things. And like the enemy wants to like discourage us. I mean, we can be cut back. Yeah, we can be whatever, pruned. But there's a time when the Lord says, they have made my people sad who I haven't made sad. You know what I mean? And sometimes people make us sad, and it's not God making us sad. You know, it's a time where he's wanting to nourish and bless. And but it's really hard to get on, you know, to that when somebody's really making your heart, trying to make your heart sad.
Yeah.
So anyway, God's encouraging me at 1:30 in the morning, you know, sing those songs.
Wow.
Remember. We were in revival then, you know, when we learned those songs. And good things were happening, and they were happening. Over and over.
Yeah.
That's good. Very good.
Yeah, that's really a good word. That's a really good prophetic song because I just feel like something good is about to happen. I had to look at the words, but I can't remember any of the words to it. But
I feel like something good is on its way.
I just feel like something good is on its way.
He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could be this very day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. And it's too high. I just feel like something good.
Happen.
And brother, it could be fairy day.
Woo! I love that, man. Yeah, I love that. Carmen is saying, I don't know that song. See, there's somebody that knows because she's not over. She's not 50 yet, probably. She says, thank you, Jesus. She says, I don't know that song. Sing it, she says. Sing it. Yeah, I don't know the words, but now that you're singing that like that, girl, that's prophetic. That's why I wanted you to sing, because I'm thinking that's prophetic right there. And I felt the same way, except I didn't put those words in.
Yeah, put me up. It picks me up out of Molly Grubbs. Praise you, Lord. Yeah.
Well, everybody's out there with children that have children or have anybody that they're praying for that's had problems and issues and things they've been praying for, believing God for a long time. I mean, who doesn't have that? Everybody has that I know of. So, man, what a word. I mean, what a thing that God did, just like, you know, out of the blue, just, you know, and how part of it happened, you know, because, you know, the actual manifestation of it happened because the Lord said, just sing a couple of songs over him. And I'm like, I don't know any songs that I can sing. And so he just said, just start singing. And it wasn't anything, you know, wonderful or beautiful. It was just, you know, doing it. There's something, we gave this word, I think, some of you might remember it, about God's moving us back into the music, to the music realm, to the worship realm.
Yeah.
And so when I was singing that song, honestly, when I was singing that song to him, you know, it wasn't even really a song. It was just, I was just making up stuff, right? And when I started doing that, I started thinking about those words. Like God said, we're going to enter into a time of worship and singing. You know, like we're talking about Elvis Presley. We're talking about how God had anointed him. He got revived in a revival. Among the African-American people who just, you know, who would like to move around, and he did his shaking and rattling and rolling, and he got an anointing from God on that. And we were talking about that night, that I just saw the new movie they had about him and thought it was awesome, how they showed him going to that revival and the Spirit of God coming on him. He was fascinated about how God was using, he saw those people and he saw how God was using him. He's going like, man, this is amazing. And it was a beautiful thing. And, of course, it got directed the wrong way later. And, sadly, when you think about what happened with Elvis Presley and worship and singing and the anointing he got and how he got it, that he – you know what ruined him, Cheryl, was the merchandising. Because the colonel, as they found out later in court after he died, that he was nothing but a salesman selling merchandising Elvis Presley's gift, because he recognized he had something going on, something special. And what it was the anointing at first. You know, when he would sing, people would cry. They couldn't, why?
Right.
Elvis said, what's wrong with these people? What are these girls doing? They're screaming. They're crying. And one of the guys said, they love it, Elvis. Just keep on shaking. Keep on. But what he was doing, he was reenacting what he saw in that revival. And the anointing was on him. And so what happened was, what ruined him and what destroyed the whole thing was one thing. When you see that movie, you need to go, I tell y'all, you need to go see the movie and see it. It's amazing when you see what we know here around here. When the colonel started merchandising him, and I mean, it's obvious that was his whole purpose. He got in there and he started merchandising that gift and making it into a 3-ring circus, which is what the movie's all about. I mean, girl, it just, I'm sitting there watching that going, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How the body of Christ starts out right, and then we start merchandising Jesus, you know, the anointing and all the stuff, and then it ends up dying early. You know, he died at 41 years old.
Bible
he died
says,
early.
Yeah. Yeah. That they'll make that false prophets will make merchandise of us.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
I don't really know what all that means, but that sounds like what happened to Elvis, that you're describing it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
and that was probably, they said that was probably
the only
the truest.
As money come. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, the money comes what?
They just see you as money coming, you know, just to users and abusers of mankind, basically.
Yeah, he was very good. Tom Hanks plays that role, and he did such an excellent job of looking like some half-creepy little circus guy, because he was in a circus, and he learned how to merchandise a circus. He learned how to promote circus. He learned how to promote, you know. And so when he told Elvis, he says, I'm going to make you, you know, he said, I can make you
you know, well known or whatever it was. I can't remember what he said, but and I mean, Elvis just went right for it. You know, he was young, he was vulnerable, and the Colonel just did nothing. I mean, they made merchant. They had puppy dogs. They sold puppy dogs. They sold every kind of trinket you could think of. I didn't know that about Elvis. They had every kind of trinket, kind of like the Body of Christ has done some things in different realms. The Catholic realm, they're very trinket-minded, and so are we. We're always selling this and selling that and selling this little print, this horn and that thing and the prayer cloth and whatever the thing, selling it and merchandising. And because of that, those revivals died early when they could have kept going on.
Yeah.
Elvis died at 41 years old, man. That is young.
Mm. That is
41,
really
41.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the prime, really, of your life. I mean, 40. Oh, man. Well, I don't have a lot to say. I was just filling in the blank. And
yeah.
The
song you sang was very prophetic. I think that was a prophetic act right there. You just did it. Oh. Awesome.
Yeah. I just need to keep singing because I have made a, you know, you told me not to leave everything, but I have really started exiting places where I don't feel, I mean, you can only go so long and not feel celebrated, right? I even left my gym. I'm no longer a member of Planet Fitness. I have moved up to Crunch. you know, I'm just changing stuff, and it's things I didn't want to do necessarily.
Right.
I don't particularly care for it. So just a little, it's just different. I'm going to go back to church, but I went to prayer meeting because that would be a place where I could pray and, you know,
open mic
and everything. And so, and that's my thing. I loved, you know, I mean, that's where we saw revival was prayer. And so then that got, you know, messed up. So I'm like, okay, all right.
All right, here's the chorus. She says, I just feel like, Carmen sent this to me. I just feel like something good is about to happen. This is Cheryl's prophecy tonight. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, I'm not even getting it right. And brother, it could happen any day. Okay, I'm not getting that right yet, but anyway. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Yeah, here's some more. She sent more. So here's a verse. I have learned in all that happens just to praise him. For I know he's working all things for my good. This is good. Thank you, Carmen. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know he'll see me through. He said he would. Yes, I've noticed all the bad news in the paper. Oh, wow, that really speaks. There you go. And it seems like things get bleaker every day. But this for this child of God, it makes no difference. Because it's bound to get better either way. Woo! Man, I love that. That really speaks. Okay, here's some more. I'm going to just, you know, yes, I've noticed all the bad news in the paper. It seems like things are sleeker every day. But for the child of God, it makes no difference. For I know it's bound to get better either way. For we have never been more thrilled about tomorrow's. Sunshine's always bursting through the skies of gray. We just feel like something good is about to happen. And, brother, this could be that very day. Yeehaw! Cool, man. That's it. What
you get
a great
whole church
word.
Singing that.
Hey?
I said you get a whole church singing that and believing that. And, you know, really it's stirring up faith and expectation. And yeah.
It's simple and beautiful and powerful and to the point. Simple,
yeah.
Beautiful, and powerful, and to the point, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. You can't beat prophetic words like that. I mean, that song, you know, and the fact that God had you bring on and I've learned in all that happens just to praise him, for I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment, for I know he'll see me through. He said he would. Yeah, all about all the bad news. Yeah, awesome. Something good's about to happen. And that's what I feel, you know, I said this, I think it was last week on Thursday night. I was prophesying. I remember the Lord had me saying things. And I said, get ready. Because what we were talking about was just this one area about Trump, the Trump word. And although we all wanted, you know, Trump before I understood what was going on, what God was doing, I wanted Trump back too, of course, like everybody else did. So it was difficult to prophesy that, you know, but I just knew God was, you know, there's no question. And so I'm stepping out by faith, right? I'm walking on the water and I'm prophesying this. I'm hearing all this stuff and I'm going at it. People are getting mad at me. The more I prophesy, the more my friends are getting mad at me. One of them, Gary Mary, as sweet and wonderful as they were, you know, you're a false prophet. I mean, they were so rapid. And so the Lord started saying to me the other night when I was on the show, prophesying, saying that I'm going to reward PGN and Randy and PGN because you stood alone. Like the Lord was telling me, he said, Randy, because you stood alone and were willing to stand alone on that, just that one particular area. He said, because of that, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I said, PGN, get ready because God's going to bless us. And then the beautiful thing about Devontae calling in and all that happening. And then, I mean, look at that. I mean, it's just, and then you come up, you know, then there's just the song and other people saying things. So this is amazing to me. I mean, this is like, we've been believing God for this for a while. I have. I know y'all have. Everybody has.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And standing alone when you see something, it's not easy because you want people to, I mean, like you want the whole church singing. That feels like something good is about to happen. But, well, we can't stay the way, like you were saying, America can't stay on the course that it's on because God has something else for us because he wants revival. And it's just like I see a lot of times in the churches around here, we can't stay on the same course we're on to see revival. And I see that so clear. I have reformation in my spirit. It's just there. I can't pretend like it's not there. I can't poof it away. It's like when you knew what you knew. And,
yeah.
But people that are comfortable and apathetic, or what's the word the Lord gave me? I gave it to you the other night. Anyway, can't think of it now, so maybe I shouldn't be saying it, but passivity, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Passivity,
yeah, right.
Because it's working for them. Or they see this is the way we want it to work. It's got to be this way. And God's saying it's not going to be that way because of the foundation of it. It's what it's built on, you know, like you always on merchandising. You know, if it's built on that, then it's built on sand. If it goes against the word of God, you might as well, like, be building your house on sand.
Yeah. Right. I highly recommend everybody on PGN who's been listening to us talk about merchandising for years. And I know it's been probably at times a little bit like, why is he keep just doing it? Because you become something, in some ways, when you're a prophet, you become like a hammer. Sometimes you become a water hose. Sometimes you become a hammer. Sometimes you become a seed planter. And I never know what God's going to have me put on. And I get on something, it's like saying, is he ever going to get off that? Like we get on the red heifer thing. We stay on the red heifer thing. We ate that. I chewed that red heifer thing up until there was nothing left but bone. I mean, there wasn't. I even chewed the bone and ate the whole thing. Like that's what the Lord has me do. He has me chew the cud, chew it, keep chewing it until you get every bit of out of it, and then I'm going to give you the next thing. So the problem is most people just kind of lick around and chew around on something. They don't really eat. You know, they don't really eat it, every bit of it. The Lord says, chew it and get every word I give you, chew it, meditate on it, and chew it, chew the cud until you get every bit of nutrition out of it, because if you don't get all the nutrition out of that one word, the next word is not going to be effective. It's not going to be the same. So when people have watched us, you know, I talked about the Trump thing for a long time, you know, we kept going on and on and on about it, and people were getting really mad at me. Some people were behind the phone. They love me, but they're going like, man, I'm buying that up in Jesus' name. Well, I understood because I was kind of binding myself up a little bit sometimes until I realized why God was allowing it to happen for his glory. Then my whole spirit changed about it when I first seen that. And God had to show me because I'm just like everybody else. I love his big mouth. I love the fact that he's stirring them people up, man. I love that. Are you kidding me? I just think, my God, I didn't prophesy him that he would be president. All those other guys did. They did a great job. It was amazing. Lance Ball now and others, we give them the credit and the glory from God for how they prophesied Trump in. It was amazing. I didn't see that. I didn't see it. I just saw him being killed or being, you know, taken out. Not killed physically only, but just, you know, the dream that I had showed me they were trying to take him out. The big dogs were going to try to take him out, and that's exactly what happened when we told him not to go to January 24th. I said they're going to try to kill you. I literally told him this, you know, in different means, different ways. They're going to try to kill you on January 24th, which is when he was going to Davos, Switzerland, which is where all the financial people meet of the world, which is going to eventually be the one world financial system. That's where he was going. He was going to that meeting. Finances is his life, man. He loves that stuff. Are you kidding me? He wanted to go there and be the president of the United States. I'm the president of the United States, and I'm coming to this global financial, you know, meeting where all these high-powered people are coming with money, and I'm going to tell them what God, you know, I'm going to tell them what, you know, I feel like is going to happen. And so when he didn't go, when I gave that word, and Sarah Huckabee and some other things, like, you know, talk about all of it, but when because I'm connected to the Huckabees spiritually, and you know, in the natural, I don't really talk to them anymore, but they pay attention to what I say because they know what's happened. So they pass that information on to him, and sure enough, what happened? Sarah Huckabee comes down. He was his press secretary. Said he's not going to go to Davos, Switzerland. I went, what? To raise money for the wall? He never did raise any money for the wall. He was hiding out, and smart. So I thought he was smart doing it. And the day he opened up the White House back again and came back hide in the White House, I'm not saying hiding like a coward. I'm saying he was trying to protect himself, right?
Well, of course.
He came out on the 25th of January is when he came out and he said, I'm back. Because that word we gave him was they're going to try to take you out on the 24th of January, specific information. And that's why he did not go to Davos, Switzerland, where – you know, those are the big dogs up there. They'll whack you, and they'll just blame it on somebody else, like they did Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, said, oh, so and so did it. They don't really care what people think about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. These people run the world, basically, so to speak.
Yeah.
At least they think they do. And so that whole thing was. So we stood alone on all that. Most people don't even know what I went through. I never really talked about all the things that I went through. So last week, when God was telling me during the show, He was talking to me. Y'all thought I was prophesying to you, but those who heard it. But God was telling me this. I was listening to the words coming out of my mouth going, Randy Chandler, I'm about to bless you because you stood alone. Basically, I know there's some people at PGN who stood with me. I know there's, you know, a couple. I don't know exactly how many, but basically as far as among the prophets and among the body of Christ, I was standing alone. And PGN was too, in a sense. And so people going like, man, you know, what's happening to you? I said, get ready, PGN. This last week, God's getting ready to bless you because you stood alone. And then the Devontae thing happens. To me, I see that as a sign, in a sense, that that was God telling me. what better thing can you have than one of your beloved sons from, you know, Lisa's son, a beloved son, getting some ministry from the Holy Spirit and getting some freedom? I mean, my God, what's better than that? I mean, that's better
right.
than a financial miracle. That's better than money. That's better than anything.
Right.
Right? So,
exactly.
I mean, my God. So, and
it's
then Cheryl comes on tonight.
Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
It's souls. Everything
Instead
that's
of selling them.
It's for souls. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm through.
No, I was just thinking, even while you're talking, for God to line everything up, it's for people to come back to Him, really come back to Him.
The love
really
fest.
Come back to Him.
The
for
love
the churches
fest, man.
To come back to Him. For us to come
yeah.
back to Him. For the prophets to go, if I have to stand alone, I'm gonna grow up, and I'm gonna rejoice when I'm persecuted, like the Bible says, and really grow up. And you know, you say you can do all that until the persecution starts coming, and then I get like a whiny baby. Oh my God, I don't know
yeah.
if I can do this.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I don't know if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, me too. I'm just saying, me too. I can be whiny sometimes. I get whiny privately. I'll be like going, God, how come this? It's just I'm getting ready to bless you, just like with, you know, our friend Job. I'm getting ready to bless you. I went, oh, thanks a lot. Okay, so you're gonna okay. Well, I received that, you know, and then I quit whining
yeah.
so much.
yeah. But anyway, so I just, you know. I don't know the difference between getting healed and rejoicing when you're persecuted. You know, it's like, okay, I can't pretend like that didn't hurt. You know, so.
Of course it hurts, yeah.
So I guess you can rejoice and hurt at the same time. Cry and laugh at
yeah.
the same time. I've done it for a long time. Yeah,
yeah, when Jesus was on the cross, well, Jesus, this is how I explained that to people. When Jesus was on the cross, what was he doing? He was paying the price for all of us, but he was literally doing the one suffering. He was the one suffering. So he
yeah.
wasn't going like, oh, nail another one in, brothers. I don't mind. No, he was like going,
yeah.
That hurt. Oh, you know, it hurts. But yet at the same time, he said he was doing it for the Father. So you experience the pain. There's nothing wrong with crying out in pain and crying and, if Jesus can do it, friend, if he can go to the garden and say, and question even going to that cross for the timing or whatever it was, like, please, Father, take this. Can you take this from me? Can you please take it from me? See, and we look at that like sometimes when we do that stuff, like, oh, yeah, you're just carnal. Nah, I don't think so. I think there's something else going on. We got to quit telling people that stuff and let them go through the thing of truly with their heartfelt pain and suffering and, God, I really don't want to do this, but if you really want me to, I will, but you're going to have to really show me if you want me to do this. So he does. He's nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So it's on the cross, you know, he suffered tremendously, and yet he knew that he was doing the Father's will. And so that's
yeah.
what we kind of look at. We're in pain. We're crying out, I can't believe they said that to me. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. And then later the Lord says, yeah, I had him stab you right there, and I had him nail you, and I had him do that. And I'm going like, okay, now I understand, God. Thank you for that, but it was painful. So, yeah, that's part of it.
And you look back when God does keep you from stuff, and God does keep you from places and people and things, you look back years later and you go, oh, my God. I shouldn't say, oh, my God, like that, but freaking ignore it. But that's what you kept me from. Because I would have never been able to, I wasn't going the same direction as those people. And they're merchandisers. They're whatever, huge merchandisers, you know what I mean? And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Well, there's reason that I couldn't keep my mouth shut on it, you know, because God was trying to keep me from it. So I just
right.
look back now and go, I understand I totally get it, all of it. So
yeah.
He's...
And on the merchandising realm, too, that's another realm where we stood alone, too. I've been standing alone on that for a long time. I knew that when, because I know how it works. I mean, we've talked. I've sat with people who were on television, well-known people, you know, and traveled the globe and that kind of thing. And I've been friends with them. I know them personally. I know how they think. And I thought the same way as they did. So I'm not criticizing. I'm not condemning them at all. I'm just saying, you know, so when I started hearing God tell me that, you know, Randy, he started showing me what was wrong with it. I never saw anything wrong with it. Just like they did. Like most of them do. They don't see anything wrong with it. It's like, this is the way we would get money for the kingdom of God. We're doing this for God, man. And I started asking this lady question. I said, you know, I can't remember the question I asked, but she answered me because I said something about selling. Why are you selling? Why do you sell your books? And she said to me, because we can't trust the people to, if we give them away, that they're gonna pay us for the book. And so I walked away. So that really made a lot of sense. Oh, that business wise, that is it, man. If you can't trust in a business world, you don't give things away and trust people gonna pay you. It's not good business. That's not good business. But
yeah.
In the kingdom of God, we're in a different kind of business, and the business that we're in is, if we're called and anointed by God as a five-point ministry person, we get words from God. We give those words. We don't sell them. And then the next thing that they said, and other people have said to me, well, you know, we had to pay publishers. We worked hard on that book. We deserve the money. I'm going like, and it all sounded right to me. And I thought, well, yeah, that's really right. You know, they work hard. They got publisher, had to pay for the publisher. They're out of money. They're out of money. They're out on the use. Spent money on getting it all done. I'm going, that makes a lot of sense, you know, and I walked away going, that makes a lot of sense, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes, Randy, I'm about to teach you something that you're going to be rejected for. I'm going, oh, boy, give me another one of those, you know. And so he starts talking to me. He said, let me explain something to you. He said, if they would, because they're not business people. They're ministers of the gospel and sanctified and set apart from being a business person. So I went, so he started explaining it to me, took me by the hand, explained it to me like he does, so gently, so kind, and so strong. He said, let me bring it to you like this. If she had 300 books and she gave those books away like I want her to do, then one person, he said, what happens to Randy? He said, if you'll trust me, one person will get one of those books, and the other 299 people may not even say thank you, may not say anything. You said one of them will read that book. If it's anointed by God, they will read it, and I will speak to them, and they will say, they will call, they could have called her up and said, ma'am, thank you for giving away. You are so unique. You love us so much. You gave us this word, and now I want to thank you. I'm going to send you a $100,000 check today, and I'm going to start sending you $10,000 a month just for doing that. So she would have gotten that $100,000 check, which would have paid for all those books, and again, 100 times for 300 books. And God would have said, see, and that's how he explained it to me. So I could go on and on for a long time about how he started teaching me all these different things. So he started giving me a whole new, he renewed my mind. He changed my mind on all of it because I was right along with him. I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And God said, you're not a business person, Randy. You're sanctified and set apart to give my word away, not sell it. And just like that's why the Elvis Presley movie is so powerful to me now, because they wrote it like it really was. They brought it out like it really was, which showed that Elvis Presley got an anointing in that African-American revival, tent revival they had going on. The power of God hit him. He watched them shaking. He watched them moving. That was the Holy Ghost. And then he goes in there. He was drawn. And some people tried to stop him from going. He's a white boy, you know, going up in there like, don't go back in there. You know, you don't belong in here. Like, not really belong with us, but. Because they were all friends, but they tried to pull him back. And the pastor, who had a heart for God, that precious African-American man, said, no, let him go. God's calling him. And he went in there, man, and he just like went, oh, my God. And the Holy Ghost hit him. And so what he started doing in his first concert, he started doing what he saw in that revival. He was thinking music was like,
you know, from God. This is a God thing. And he's shaking and he's rattling, he's rolling. And everybody looked at it like it was some lustful thing, but it really wasn't. It didn't start out to be that. It started out to be a thing where the Holy Spirit was being was releasing love. And most people mm-hmm. interpret love as some kind of sexual thing. That's all they, you know, love is part of that. But they interpret it as, oh, he just stirring up their sexual desire. People even say it today. He just stirring up their, well, at first, that wasn't what was going on. He was there. God's Spirit was flowing through him, and he was stirring love. And it was so powerful that the women out there started shaking like they did in that revival. And they started crying out. I've seen it happen in my meetings back many years ago. They're crying and shaking, and you thinking it's a demon or something. I don't know what is going on because it's so violent. It's like scary because they can't control themselves. And when I saw that, and I remembered a meeting that I had years ago when the same thing happened to me, and I hate to say it, but I went down there and tried to cast the devil at them because they wouldn't shut up. They were screaming, crying, and crying and crying. I'm thinking, how can you disturb my meeting like that? I'd never seen that before in my own meeting. Because I was up there worshiping. I was up there. I was the one up there leading the worship and singing, and I wasn't shaking my leg or nothing like that. I was just like being normal, like a worship leader. Yeah. And because I was the worship leader because I didn't have any money to pay anybody else. And I mean, the power of God hit them, and I mean, it was amazing. So when I saw that with the Elvis Presley movie, I totally identified with it a little bit. Not because I'm a singer or because I'm anointed, because I had that same experience and the same look on their face, and everything was all the same. So, and then it turned in, then the Colonel started merchandising it and turned it into, you know, it turned into a big sex thing wherever he went, you know, the girls wanted to come and, you know, and it turned into that, but it was not originally that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Excuse me, the prosperity, I know what you're saying, I was more saying that prosperity gospel, I mean, it's been taken, I know God wants to prosper us and all that, I'm just saying when it's the only focus, the only thing you hear, it's like, no, I'm not going that route.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much more to God than that, and it does make merchandise of people. It does. It's just about money, and when everything's about money, then it's money. You're about money, you know.
Yeah, and, when you start writing books, what happens is when people start writing books, and I know this personally because I had the same things. I'm thinking, man, if you have a million Christians who buy your book. Or buy your CD, or buy whatever, and you make $1, make $1 profit off of it. You know, there's $1 million right there. So you start. So when you're writing or you're doing things, and you haven't been delivered from that, that's where the enemy takes your mind, and that's what they're all doing. That's what they'll tell you. Now I've had this tell me to me personally, not through people. We got to pay publishers. We worked hard for that. And Randy, you know, the money we get from that, that's God blessing us. But when Lord started showing me, he said that's the business spirit that has crept in, just like with Elvis Presley. When the business spirit, it was all about how much money can we make off of Elvis. And had a guy who was really, 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 really talented about it, the Colonel. He was extremely talented and extremely wise and smart in business world. And turned Elvis Presley into what he ended up being, you know, a blessed man. But he ended up being really, you know, his whole life just fell apart. He became a sex fiend and a drug fiend. And, you know, so it really messed up everything. And the merchandising opened up the door. So I recommend everybody to go see the Elvis Presley movie or get it somehow, find it somewhere, and listen to it and watch it in the light of what I'm telling you and see what God shows you, man. It's going to blow your mind.
I had a boss. It cured me of it all. it opened my eyes up to this stuff early on. I just pushed us to sell stuff. I could see him coming. I saw dollar signs in his eyes. That's all I could see in the spirit.
A businessman or
a businessman?
Oh,
or,
no,
or,
it was just totally business. But he just didn't. That's all he saw us as is money coming.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm like,
right.
Get over yourself.
Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with. I don't think there's anything wrong with being blessed and enjoying the money coming in.
No,
but like you're saying, I know what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, and you're saying, no, I know you're not saying it. Yeah. But so what happens is that like you said, everything becomes about money instead of having a generous spirit about you while you're making that money and God's blessing you. And that's what you're saying, that he was all about money. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It's done. Drink some water. Where's your water? You're coughing.
I know. I'm kind of.
Do you have your water?
A lot, I guess. Yeah, I do. I got water everywhere, man. I'm a water drinker, and I'm going to learn how to
water it.
I'm going to water it, babe. Yeah, I'm going to water that thing. All right, Cheryl. Thanks for sharing that song. That was perfect. I haven't heard that song in a long time. It was awesome. And thank you, Carmen, for joining in with that and sending me the lyrics so I could wail like a dog trying to sing it. But Cheryl did pretty good on it. But, yeah, we did good, though. We got it out there, and that's it. So thanks, everybody. I guess I'm going to call it a night. I'm I've been really going crazy today. So y'all pray for me right now. What's happening is I'm redesigning. I'm making a makeshift studio. And what I'm doing right now is I'm learning how to do something in a whole another way. And most of the, 99% of the equipment, we already have all that. We don't have it by much, but the screens and the whole thing that I'm working on right now, it's a major project. I didn't even realize how major it was until I now trying to, finish it. And it's fun. It's a blast, but pray for me that, I will, hear from God and put it together, correctly, because what we're developing right now, we already had a system of doing studios so that we can, bring forth, have the screens and all the things. Now we got Zoom. We're going to be able to, we're not doing this to get everybody on video, unless those, we want people to come on video because it makes it more fun. And you'll be in the studio with me on the screens. If you come in on Zoom, if you want to do that, if you don't want to do it, it's not a big deal. But we're moving to a whole different place. So pray for me as I take the stuff that we've had and all you guys paid for with your giving and offerings. Thank you so much for that. And now we're adding some screens to it and a little bit different system because what we used before was projectors and big screens. Like I had 13-foot by 25-foot screens that I made, that we bought. They were material. And then we put projector on them to make it. So now, since we're in a little place, plus those projectors were hot and they were noisy. And we had four or five. People would ask me sometimes, what's that humming noise in the background? And I wanted to say, it's those projectors, but it's the only way I can do what I'm doing. So now what we're doing something without projectors and without noise and without all that heat. So this is really big for me personally to make this next level of the outpouring I believe we're going to see and bring it in on video like tonight. I would love to have had, if they wanted to come on, Lisa and Devontae come on video. Could you imagine that? Talking about that stuff.
Awesome.
And having them right there in the studio and hearing them talk about all the stuff, how more effective that would have been, if they would have been able to do that. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at doing. And so this to me, with Devontae and Lisa and all this stuff going on, and all of our friends who have been involved in all this, our family of ministers on PGN, and all the different people that prayed. Cheryl used to be a host. I'm sure she's prayed many times for Lisa and Devontae and others. So we've had a lot of investment in this, and now we're starting to see some results. So the timing with the new studio thing going on, to me, it's just confirmation for me to, let's do this thing. So anyway, that's it. So we're going to call it a night, I guess, you guys. Unless somebody's got something you want to say real bad or real good, but I'd love to hear it. Cheryl, thank you so much. What an awesome – God used you tonight to bring that song in. I love that song, and it's so simple and powerful.
All right.
All right. I don't have anything
right.
to say. It's just been good.
Okay,
thank
that's
you
okay.
so much.
All right. I appreciate All it. Right. Okay, thank you. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Anybody else want to talk real quick? Or we may finish out, you know, 40 more minutes. We've got 40 more minutes left. You got something you want to share or say? I don't want to end this thing. If we've got people that got something on their heart that they'd like to bring, somebody hasn't spoken yet or wants to say something. You're still awake out there? But that's what we're doing while people are thinking about that, maybe coming on for a minute. That's what we're working on right now. I'm working on feverishly, I mean, day and night. I mean, literally just seemed like day and night almost on getting these things going on. No projectors for the heat and the noise in this little room wouldn't work anyway. But God is using this to take all of our other equipment and minus the screens and the projectors for now and putting together a whole other system. That's what's happening. And I'm really excited about it. It's a lot of, I feel like an engineer, though I am not an engineer. I'm not smart enough to be an engineer at all. But when your heart's in something and you got God helping you, Jesus and I talk a lot. As you guys, you know, you talk to Jesus a lot. I talk to Jesus a lot. Jesus is helping me do this. It's just really amazing. I mean, we just talk, you know. I'm always saying, man, I'm always telling the Lord, seriously, I said, man, you are truly a genius. Well, you're more than a genius, but you're a genius, you know. And so I was like, this is amazing, some of the stuff, some of the things you're showing. So pray that we'll continue to listen to him and do what he says and bring, you know, like we could have had the studio set up tonight with all the screens and all the stuff going. We could have had, through Zoom, we could have had them get on live and tell that testimony and talking and sharing however they wanted to. People could have listened and heard it and watched it. Very effective. That's why video and screen on, you know, TV or, you know, video is powerful because not only are you hearing them, which is very powerful, but then you're seeing them, which is really amazing. So, all right. Awesome. Nobody else raised their hand. So maybe we'll call it a night if nobody wants to say anything or share anything or maybe a word you're getting or something. All right. Yeah, my throat got a little dry tonight here. So, and I'm not sick and I don't get cold anymore, but I do get a dry throat sometimes. So I think Martine turned me on to that thing of, eating rice. I had rice today. I went to Mongolian barbecue and ate all the rice and the noodles with all the veggies. And, oh, my gosh. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyway, I'm healthy and whole. But as far as I know, I'm losing some weight right now because I'm working. I'm a workaholic, so when I start working, I go and just don't eat. Don't even think about it. I don't even get hungry, which is, you know, you get to know me. I really like to eat. So, and I've been losing a little bit of weight because I'm constantly enjoying myself to no end doing this while I don't eat, you know. So I have to make myself stop and eat, which is really cool. Okay, man, I'm so proud of you, Chandler, to make yourself eat. Yeah. All right, y'all. It's 12:24. We've had a great night. We got to minister to some friends from Virginia. Let's talk to Devante and Lisa. And Cheryl prophesied a little song to us there. I thought it was awesome. Everybody does their part. We could talk about all different kinds of people who were part of Devante's blessing and, you know, our PGN friends, our PGN family. Everybody plays a little bit different role of doing different things for PGN. Everybody has a little bit different role. Every role is important. So let's continue to pray for them, for all of our hosts, all of our people, all of our friends, and what God's doing. We're so thankful to Jesus for what he's doing for precious families, man. Yep, family stuff. All right. I'm calling it a night, y'all. All right, good night, everybody. Nobody's raising their hands, so we will call it a night. All right, God bless everybody. See you tomorrow.